And gentlemen, very sorry for the late start here, but unfortunately, I'm the only one that's here. Brian and Eddie and Ari have not shown up yet. Brian's not showing up because he was eating some yogurt and he bit down on his spoon and broke his fucking tooth, which is one of the dumbest fucking things I've ever heard in my life. So he's not going to be here, and Eddie's stuck in traffic because it's raining in L.A., and when it rains in L.A., everybody freaks out, and Ari's stuck in traffic as well. So that's the story. Let me shut this music off. I got this synced up. Guru from Gangstar died yesterday. Very, very sad. One of my favorite rap bands ever. And dude was only 43 years old. It makes you think, you know, that's only a year older than me. That's crazy shit, you know? Dying of you know, cancer and shit. Used to be healthy, now he's dead. And that's life, unfortunately. But the good thing is we still got his music. Life carries on. And maybe he's somewhere cooler right now, right? Who the fuck knows, right? Ladies and gentlemen. So, since I'm starting solo, let's get started with a bunch of shit that's going on. First of all, this fucking Strike Force thing. You know, one of the reasons why the Strike Force thing is so fucked up is because they haven't really done it that many times. They haven't done these big CBS shows that many times. And they made a bunch of big mistakes. And the big brawl that happened afterwards, I mean, first of all, everyone was criticizing Mayhem. And everyone was saying that Mayhem fucked up and Mayhem might cost CBS their deal. All right, first of all, Mayhem shouldn't have even been allowed to get into that octagon. If that was the UFC, they have security at the stairs. They have security at the top. You can't just walk into the octagon while the fights are going on. It's literally not possible. You know, you can't have that many teammates in the octagon as well. When Jake Shields, after his fight, he had six or seven of his buddies in the cage, trainers, everybody. You can't have that many people. The UFC does not allow it. The UFC, I believe you're allowed to have three. And they regulate it all. And that's what you're supposed to do. As far as Mayhem doing something that was inappropriate, well, he definitely did something disrespectful. You know, Jake Shields is in the middle of the biggest victory of his life. Just beats Dan fucking Henderson and dominates him for four rounds after he got fucked up for the first round. So, you know, it's a huge emotional victory for him and for his teammate. You know, his teammates, rather. You know, this is a gigantic fight, and he pulled it off. So, you know, emotions were running very high, and Mayhem stepped in and bogarted the attention. And that's not cool. But it was a mistake. You know, he went in there to try to hype up the fight the same way they would do it in the UFC, the same way, you know, the famous Georges St. Pierre, "I'm not impressed with your performance," you know, when he went in there when Matt Hughes had just won. You know, that kind of shit happens to build up fights. That's what it's for. But this wasn't planned. You know, Strikeforce didn't know it was going to happen. Mayhem thought about it last minute. He just wanted he was hyped up because he had won earlier in the night. He wanted a rematch with Jake Shields. So he runs into the octagon and, they start pushing him out of the way, and then chaos erupts. He should have never been allowed to get into the octagon. And if he was allowed to get into the cage, they should have had it regulated. It should have been a situation where when, you know, they would let Jake Shields speak, they ask him all the questions they're going to ask him, totally respectfully. He gets his chance. He gets his moment to say what he has to say, thank his teammates. Then, after all that's done, then Mayhem comes in, if that's what they want, if that's a fight they're hyping up next. Who the fuck knows what their plans were? Their plans might not be a Mayhem fight next. So it should have been up to them. They should have regulated the cage. They should have made sure he didn't get in there. As far as like what the Diaz brothers did and Gilbert Melendez, those guys are backing up their buddy, all right? Those guys are like brothers, you know? Those guys, they're all a bunch of fucking psychos and savages. Their buddy just wins the Strikeforce middleweight title. If some pushing goes on, they're down to get in there. That's just the way they are. You know, I mean, the Diaz brothers, you know, people always criticize them. But I think, first of all, I think they make shit way more interesting. When you've got someone like Nate and Nick Diaz that they don't give a fuck. Like, they really don't give a fuck. Like, they're not just pretending to not give a fuck. No, they really don't give a fuck. They will fight in a brawl on CBS on prime time. They don't give a fuck. They really knew what was going on, and they still stepped in there and did that. You can't just have them all together like that and let anybody in that you want. It's like I used to have pit bulls. And when you get a bunch of pit bulls in the room, you can't get mad at the pit bulls if they fight each other. That's just what they do. And these guys are professional mixed martial arts fighters. And in mixed martial arts, definitely there's a psychological aspect to it. That's a huge component of fighting and whether or not you win or lose. And these guys have this psychological edge over their opponents because they're so aggressive, because they're so down to fight at any moment's notice. They don't give a fuck. They're not afraid. They're ready to throw down. And because of that, that's a significant advantage. It's a significant tactic when it comes to fighting. And they're not going to relinquish that just because they're on national television. So if someone gets in one of their boys' faces and disrespects them, they're going to fight. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. So what I blame is, I think Mayhem certainly made an error, but he should have never been allowed to get into the position to make that error. It was completely, in my opinion, on Strikeforce or the committee or whoever the fuck is supposed to be watching that cage. You know, I don't know who's responsible for that. The UFC takes care of all that shit. I never have to think about it. But whoever was responsible for that, it was a goddamn disaster. So that's my opinion on that. And as far as like the commentary goes, you know, people are talking about how bad the commentary is. This is what I think about that. I like Frank Shamrock. I like Frank Shamrock as a person. I enjoy him. I think he's funny. I don't mind his commentary at all. Those other two dudes, it's like my mom said, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So I'm not going to say shit because I think those guys need work. You know, it's not as easy as it looks. And you got to be a fan of the sport. And I'm not sure that main guy's a fan of the sport. I don't even want to mention his fucking name. So here we are. This is the 420 episode of the podcast. And what we'll do is I'll just ramble until everybody gets here. Ari and Eddie should be here within probably 15 to 20 minutes, depending on what the traffic looks like. And when they get here, then we'll jump off. So between now and then, I'll just take questions. If you see my office here, if you notice, things have changed. I got rid of some shit here, moved something out, and I'm going to put a green screen behind me. So for the next Ustream podcast, hopefully the next one, if not the next one, the one after that, I'll be in space. So the way we're going to have it set up is we're going to have a podcast, and then I'm going to have a green screen. I'm going to have a total space background, and then I'll have couches and shit like that. So the idea is that it'll look like couches flying through space. And so that should be pretty interesting. This whole thing is, you know, I started out this podcast sort of just kind of as a goof. And, you know, I just thought it would be an interesting thing to do. I'd always wanted to do something like that. I always enjoyed radio. But I kind of never got off my ass to do it. And now I've done it. I think this is like the 12th or the 13th week in a row. So we've been real consistent. And it's been a lot of fun. And now it's number 8 on the comedy section of iTunes. Which is crazy because the audio part of it was just sort of an afterthought to throw that up. And the Ustream one is getting plenty of hits, and it's been fun. You know, it's a fun way to supplement, you know, comedy. And speaking of comedy, I got one gig this Friday night in Sacramento, but it's already sold out. I'm going to be doing the color commentary for Jose Aldo versus Uriah Faber. I don't think they're literally not even referring to it as the WEC. They're just referring to it as Aldo versus Faber. I'm not exactly sure why that is. I think, you know, it's for, you know, because the preliminary is going to be on Spike TV. A lot of corporate shit. So that's what's going on. I got a bunch of shit to talk about. First of all, this fucking volcano over Iceland is nuts. If you haven't noticed that, there's my wife had no idea what was going on because she doesn't pay attention to shit except for gossip. But there's a giant volcano in Iceland that literally is erupting through the ice. It's pretty badass. If you look at some of the video footage online, if you Google it, it's really pretty intense. You're seeing like molten lava squirting up through the ice is really wild. And the volcanic ash has gotten so bad that they have canceled all the air flight over Europe for days and days. Oh, Ari Shaffir's here. How'd you get in?
Okay.
Oh, beautiful. What's up, brother? How are you?
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You really filled this place out.
I did. Have a seat.
Man.
Ari Shaffir, ladies and gentlemen. He's here. Eddie Bravo should be moments behind. I'm sure he's very close. Did you even ring the doorbell? No?
Yeah.
You did? Mm-hmm. I didn't even hear it. That's how much I'm rambling. We're talking about the Iceland volcano. And you know about all that shit.
Yeah, right? No one can fly anywhere.
Yeah. Today they just lifted it, but I wouldn't fucking fly.
Lift it fully?
Yeah, they lifted the air ban over Europe. But that's because it's costing them $200 million a day. How nutty is that?
It's costing who $200 million a day?
The airline industry. $200
million. Tourism in this country is
I know. It's all pretty crazy. $200 million a day. How about that? How fragile is this world? Any little thing can happen, and things close down for a couple of days, and these businesses, they run so on the edge that just a couple of days off work, and they come close to being bankrupt.
I like how people are like, fucking, I hear all the stories, like, this volcano, now I can't fly home. I'm like, you know what, we could have had all life wiped out, too.
Yeah,
everybody. That's just as likely.
Yeah. People have no idea what volcanoes are all about. Volcanoes have reshaped this earth. Like, when you're in Hawaii, have you ever gone to Hawaii?
Uh-huh.
You ever gone over the volcano in a helicopter? Mm-hmm. It's the fucking coolest thing ever. I went to the Big Island, and we took a trip on a helicopter, and we flew over the volcano. And you're flying over this active volcano. You're watching the lava bubble up inside. You can see the fucking lava.
Really?
You can see it, and you can see it roll into the ocean. Like, we fly over to where it rolls in the ocean. It's moving 4 inches every year closer to Japan. It's fucking crazy. And there's another island. There's another island in the middle of the ocean that hasn't quite popped up yet, but it's on its way. It's going to be the next island in the Hawaiian Islands.
It's
on its way up. It's building up. That whole area is just one gigantic.
So as the volcano stuff comes out, it just dries.
Yeah, it dries and it becomes it becomes rock, and then it breaks down and becomes dirt, and plants grow on it.
Oh, that's how it becomes dirt.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it literally is that. That's what Hawaii is. It's a volcano. I mean, it just came out of the ground and created islands. But you can see the fucking volcano, and they have all these different photos that you could buy there and videos you could watch. There's a bunch of towns that were completely wiped out on the Big Island. Where they'll show you where the town used to be, the lava just came rolling in like the 50s and just crushed the entire town. I think it happened in the 80s.
They have any
too.
Like buildings
it's happened
like
a few
half
times.
Under rock, half up.
I didn't see any of that, but I'm sure there must be. I mean, most of the stuff just gets smushed.
Right.
I mean, the lava comes down, it just literally annihilates any evidence whatsoever that anything was there.
Right.
And what people don't realize is like that shit has happened so many times. You know, this world has changed so many times just in, you know, the last few million years. The best place to find megalodon skeletons, megalodon teeth, you know what a megalodon is? They're these giant ancient prehistoric sharks. They were like fucking gigantic,
mm-hmm.
way bigger than great whites. Well, the best place to find their teeth is in Montana.
Is that used to be covered?
It used to be the ocean.
Yeah.
How fucking nutty is
and
that?
That's where they hung out, at that part of the ocean. They hung
that's fucking crazy. Montana used to be underwater. You know, so many parts of the, just like 10,000 years ago, half of North America was under a mile high sheet of ice.
Hmm.
Just 10,000 years ago. That's nothing. That's nothing. 10,000 years is nothing. 10,000 years ago, there were saber-toothed tigers and woolly mammoths. Did you know that? Just 10,000 years ago. Fucking saber-toothed tigers. 10,000 years isn't shit.
Yeah.
Like, there were people around then.
What was the 10,000 years before that? What was there?
We don't know.
Oh.
10,000 years before that, I mean, as far as human civilization, it's all who the fuck knows. I mean, we know that the big extinction was 65 million years ago. That was the one that hit the Yucatan, the big meteor. That supposedly wiped out everything except small mammals and, you know, anything bigger than, like, a fucking hamster.
Where
did
small mammals go? Why were they?
They figured out a way to burrow underground and hardy rats and shit like that. You know, rats are some hardy animals, you know. And we're like the descendants of anything that survived 65 million years ago.
Tons of rats.
Yeah, well, all sorts of mammals. I mean, and some birds. I mean, dinosaurs are a direct descendant, or birds are a direct descendant of dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Somehow or another, some birds survived. But literally, most of the life on the planet was wiped the fuck out. And then there's the super volcanoes, man. Super volcanoes have been wiping out things on this continent for millions and millions of years. Every 600,000 to 800,000 years, Yellowstone blows up and literally wipes out the whole continent. Kills everything.
Then it restarts again.
Yeah, and there's been 2,000 earthquakes in Yellowstone National Park since January of this year.
Let's hear this thing on NPR about earthquakes and how there's so many more now. You know, lately.
Yeah, is that true? There
it's
are
a,
more now.
It's a, no.
No.
Exactly the same, just happened to hit big cities.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's the same amount, it's just they're hitting places where people are.
Yeah, and if it happens, I mean, if you had an earthquake in Bakersfield, it's going to be so much damage. If you get it on the corner of Sunset and Fairfax, it's going to be, you know, tremendous.
Right, right, right.
You know?
But it seems like there's so many of them. They're happening
so
often.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot.
Is that because of the news? Like, there's more access to information now than ever before?
I don't know. They were saying, like, last year was a year of celebrity death, you know?
Was it?
Yeah, it was like, it's never happened before. But it just keeps happening. More celebrities just died last year.
Who died last year?
Michael Jackson, that chick that was hot. It was the Charlie's Angels.
Farrah Fawcett.
That's your legacy.
That chick that was hot, it was in Charlie's Angels.
Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Did he die last year or this year?
Billy Mays.
Billy Mays.
South Park did that episode about the year of celebrity death.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, but they were already talking about it. Opening anthem was talking about it a bunch. It was like, all these celebrities are dying. But it's not. It's just, I think it's just TMZ makes more people celebrities.
That's true.
You know?
There's way more celebrities now than ever before.
Yeah.
Do you know Gangstar? The rap band Gangstar?
Uh-uh.
Guru from Gangstar just died. You don't give a fuck, do you?
I just heard he existed. I already knew he was dead.
You never
heard
of Gangstar?
Oh,
dude, there's some. Sing one of their songs. You don't sing a
rap
song.
Rap one of their stories.
I'll play you one.
All right,
I'll play you one. How dare you are.
Sing a ditty.
Sing a ditty.
From Guru. What a great Christian name.
That was nice. They were good. Do it. Gangstars, that might be a little bit too loud. They were one of the best, like, lyrical bands.
When was this?
The 90s. When did he die? The 90s, they were more popular. And he died last night. Apparently had cancer. And then he had a heart attack, and then he just died. He succumbed to the cancer. 43 fucking years old, dude. Done. That's like me.
Yeah.
You know?
40, 42.
42. I'm almost probably 43 in August. Dudes are dying of like natural causes type shit.
Yeah, like not even the weirdest thing in the world.
Not get hit by a meteor. You just fucking died. Your shit just gave up.
Broke your leg. I'll go south from there.
So it's over, son.
That guy, what's his name? It's almost dead. Where's like 100 pounds? He's an actor. He was in that scene in True Romance. Where he's like, you're a nigga, you're descended from Sicilians. You're an eggplant.
So it was Christopher Walken and then the other guy.
The
old dude.
Father in that movie.
You people know who the fuck we're talking about. The guy from, was he in Apocalypse Now?
I don't remember that movie that well. He was also in Waterworld. He played the lead bad guy in Waterworld.
Dennis Hopper, thank you very much. Jesus Christ.
He's under 100 pounds now.
Wow. So if he was a chick, he'd be hot.
Yeah. That's a bright side of life way of looking at
it. Is that not the weirdest fucking thing in the world? Is these women that think that being super skinny like anorexic is hot? That shit is disgusting.
It's dysmorphia. Some people like it. They must.
How could the fuck could any guy like that? That's so anti-nature. Nature, you want a woman to have some fat on her ass. You want her to have big tits so she can milk the baby. You want her to have fat on her ass so she can survive through the pregnancy. Those are all like, there's a reason
why
those
things. Yeah,
but that's
like holdover.
Yeah,
but those things are there for a reason. But that's why those things are there. The reason why they're attractive.
Yeah, the reason why they're attractive. It's, I mean,
okay, so
why
aren't you attracted to like fat chicks?
Because that's too much. That's obese. That's unhealthy. But a little bit of fat is good. Like a little fat ass. I like a fat ass.
What else was
a
little beef? Just like chubby.
That's not good because they can't move around good. You want athletic, but you want some fat on them. That's what it is. It's all nature. It's all leftover shit. I mean, think about how easy it is to trick your system. How about fake tits? Yeah. We know they're fake. We know there's a bag of plastic underneath your skin, but still it makes you hotter.
Wonderful.
It looks hotter.
Yeah.
They poke out and they look ridiculous. Like that poor fucking girl. What is her name? Heidi Montag? That,
uh-huh.
You know who she is?
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't pay attention. He's the anti-gossip man. But this Heidi Montag chick is she's one of those celebrities for just being a celebrity. Like, you're not exactly sure why she's a celebrity. She just had 10 plastic surgeries altogether. She had her chin done, her tits done. She had all this shit
done. Does she look better or worse?
Some people say she looks better, but I didn't think she looked bad to begin with. She just had kind of a big chin, like sort of like a Jay Leno thing going on.
Yeah.
But she was pretty. Like, you know, like she didn't have to do that. Like, it doesn't make you look better. It just makes you look different. Definitely sluttier. She had big tits to begin with. She had like big fake tits, and she got giant ones.
Oh.
Now they're like ridiculous. Like, they look stupid.
I like a solid C.
Solid C is good, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'll go with a D for there, you know, but it's like, I don't need a crazy, crazy big.
Yeah, when you see girls who have, it's so funny, like, LA is so fucked up with fake tits that you see a girl who's got real tits.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like saggy and shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's up with those? What's wrong with those? Yeah, meanwhile, it's just like, that's normal. Like, yeah, like, go look at fucking videos of Africa, you know? Go, I mean, you're not supposed to have these missile tits that stick straight out of your chest. That shit's not normal.
I think it look real nice when I go from, like, a B to a C. So we still hang down a little bit. You
just
know?
Poke
they
them
just
out
look
a
like perky.
Yeah.
They just look like they did maybe when they were 20.
It's amazing, though, how easy it is to trick us.
Some plastic surgery is good. To me, more of those people,
yeah.
You know, it's like, you've gotten the right plastic surgery.
Right.
You look great.
Demi Moore is 47 years old and she still looks hot.
Yeah.
How the fuck is she doing that?
I saw that.
That's incredible.
The model with the bump there. The
Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, on a
hot spot.
Yeah.
I'm
sure it's airbrush, sure, but it's like,
no
way, not that much.
Dude, I saw her in person.
Yeah.
She was at a UFC maybe 2 years ago.
How old is she?
She's got to be 47, 48,
yeah,
somewhere
up there, right?
She's hot as fuck, dude, still.
Yeah.
I'm sure the vagina's just done. I'm sure it's just dry as fuck.
Maybe.
Yeah, there's no more blood coming out of that thing. There's no more periods. 50, when you hit 50, that's a wrap.
So why no periods?
There's no more periods. That means you're not ovulating. It means you're not really able to have babies anymore.
Yeah.
Your body shuts the fuck off. You're just shooting loads into a cemetery. You're shooting loads into a casket. There's nothing in there. It's a total trick. You might as well be fucking a rubber doll. I mean, you're having sex with a person. That's all well and good. But as far as, like, you shooting a load inside of her, it's a total waste of time.
But waste of time.
We
don't want babies.
I know
Joe.
You don't want babies. No, I'm not saying that you do, but I'm saying, like, for nature. Like,
all
right. The only reason why sex feels good is to trick you into fucking so that you make people.
Did I ever tell you about the Jewish mystical theory about what happens to your semen that you wasted?
No.
When you pull out or when you masturbate, your semen is said to have impregnated some demon woman that's, like, there, like, appearing right here, and she's just fucking you as you're masturbating. You know, so you get
goodness.
Her pregnant. And when you get to heaven, or before you get to heaven, this purgatory level, you have to face all your kids, and they're like, why? Why couldn't we be born real people? And they're all like deformed and mangled, and you have to answer to all of them.
Oh my God.
You know?
That might be the greatest story ever. How come I've never heard of it before?
I don't know. How much Kabbalah do you study?
So they taught you this when you were a child. Now, the people that don't know, Ari spent a bunch of years in his youth as a seriously religious man.
Yeah.
Like, read the Torah how many hours a day?
When I was in Israel, probably like, I don't know, 10, 12.
10, 12 hours a day reading the Torah. We're going to have to fire up the volcano for that, son.
Yeah, I got to pee, too.
All right, go ahead. Grab some shit over there.
So this is great, man. You really revamped all this.
Oh, dude, I'm turning this bitch into a real studio.
Did you get that thing to help you?
Dude, I did it solo. It took me like 12 hours. I did have people help me get rid of the desk. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever heard of a volcano? Do you know what a volcano is? A volcano is a vaporizing device. And what vaporizing is, you know, the big argument about THC, about marijuana in general, is that you shouldn't smoke it because smoke is bad for your lungs. Well, you don't have to smoke it. You can eat it, but eating it is very tricky. Because you eat it, you get too fucked up. Because when you eat it, it's processed by the liver, and it creates something called 11-hydroxymetabolite, which is 4 times more psychoactive than THC. And it's really a totally different experience. You know, that's why when people eat brownies, they freak out. That's why, you know, I'm sure a lot of you have seen that video where that dude, he's a cop, and he calls up the 911 and says that he thinks he's dying. Because he and his girlfriend ate some pot brownies, and he said time was moving really slow, and he thinks he's dying. Well, that's because... Oh, Eddie Bravo's here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh! Check out the office. You cleaned this motherfucker.
Dude, I got rid of the desk, and I'm turning this thing into a studio. We're live right now. There's over 2,000 people. This is the biggest crowd we've ever had. Anyway, that's a vaporizer, ladies and gentlemen. It blows into this plastic bag, and it looks like a you know, like saran wrap or some shit. And you just get pure THC vapor. And what it does is it heats up the little crystals on the THC and releases them, and it comes out like mist. So there's no smoke at all. So there's no argument anymore. There's no negative health effects.
That's
or
my doctor told me.
Like
he said
that.
Smoke out of a vaporizer.
Yeah, vaporizers are shit. So I'm gonna have two dedicated cameras in here, and this is gonna be a green screen, and we're gonna be in space. When I set this up within 2 weeks, this will all be green behind us, and then when we're watching, it'll be like we're flying through the universe on a couch.
Nice.
It's gonna be the shit.
Or
so,
every episode is a different
Paris.
Yeah. Sometimes today we're in Africa. You know?
For real, though.
So what we were talking about, we went over volcanoes. I went over Strike Force. I don't know if you got any opinion on Strike Force. I said the whole reason why that brawl took place is because they didn't guard the cage. They didn't do a good job of making sure that nobody got in there.
What
that
brawl?
Was,
as soon as I saw the fight end, I was like, I want to go to a spot. I'm like, this fight's done. It's over. I never won.
Well,
and watch.
Mayhem went in there and talked when Jake Shields was in the cage and said, "Yo, Jake, when am I going to get that rematch?" Gilbert Melendez pushed Mayhem out of the way. The Diaz brothers jumped Mayhem. You know, Mayhem jumped him. It was a brawl, dude. It was kicking him when he was down. It was like four people on him. Eric Apple took Jake Shields and got him out of there and pushed him over to the other side so he didn't get involved in the brawl. I mean, it was a fucking bench clearing brawl.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
There was a great picture.
Right?
There's a great picture online where someone from the audience captured it on their phone or something, where Jake Shields and Nick Diaz are coming. It's like from behind.
Yeah.
Jake or behind Mayhem. Yeah, it's a great shot.
Well,
yeah. Mayhem is standing there, and Nick Diaz is like this, and Jake Shields is like that, and Gilbert Melendez is on the other side. Look, man, those fucking dudes, they have a lot of unity, and I respect that. And you know, and everybody's like, oh, they're thugs, and they're this and that. Well, you got to realize, man, these dudes are fucking professional cage fighters, all right? They're in there scrapping with each other every day. They're down to die for each other. Their reputation is hugely important. They're not going to fucking back down. They're not going to have a situation where they look like a bitch. They're not going to allow someone to think, you know, anybody to think that their buddy got disrespected, but they didn't do anything about it. That's not going to happen. So any sort of a situation like that where a brawl takes place, I blame fucking Strikeforce, man. I blame Strikeforce for allowing that to get to that position, allowing those fucking dudes to get into the cage.
There was a brawl in the comments store last week.
Really?
Yeah. There were some ethnic people that everyone was scared of. They asked them to leave, and they left as far as the front patio, and all the door guys were scared. So we're like, just call the cops and get them out of here. But they wouldn't do it. Eventually, a fight broke out. And somebody's like, all right, let's go. Come to the front. And I saw the fight, and I'm like, I don't want to get involved in this. I don't get stabbed from someone else.
Fuck that. You're saying, Ari, let's go fight?
Well, it's like everybody, like, come on, come to the front, defend everybody.
Are they? Are the comedians looking at you as the enforcer now because of your 2 years of jiu-jitsu? Seriously, come on.
No, they're not.
They're not?
They're looking at me for litigious reasons.
Like, no, but there's got to be some guys who are like, oh, so how long have you been doing it? Did you choke me out?
There's probably like one or two.
Oh, shit.
That's
you might be the baddest motherfucker at the comedy store.
Did you hear what Gus Johnson said? Did you hear what Gus Johnson said? Somebody, no, this hasn't been confirmed, but I'm just going to say it because I hope it's true. Gus Johnson, who's the guy, who's the black dude who does the commentary for Strikeforce,
uh-huh.
made a bunch of errors called, like, arm bars, kimuras.
I saw that. I was like, what?
Yeah. See this, ladies and gentlemen? See the fog in that? That's missed. Well, anyway, this reporter called him up and asked him about it. I think it was Mike Russell, I believe was his name. And he said, listen, dog, I know the difference between an arm bar and a kimura. I train. He said, if you want to come down and roll with me, I'll show you the difference. Like, he's like challenging guys to roll with him. Like, he trains. Like, Gus Johnson.
On the internet?
Yes. Mike Russell.
I can't read the internet shit.
No, it's too far away. We can pull this closer. But if we pull it closer, the problem is there's three of us here.
Can't read it. We can't read it.
Yeah. We don't have to read it. We get just talk.
We got to pay attention to the audience.
Yeah, but you can't pay attention to the audience and keep a conversation going at the same time sometimes. See that? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's not really harshing your lungs at all. And that's
see
just
that?
Those
that's just like mist.
You know what would be great if, like, if the DEA busted right now, caught us on the web.
We're all legal. We have prescriptions.
Yeah, we're legal.
I'm sick, it's, and I wouldn't like to make light of it.
Yeah, you have AIDS?
Insomnia, bitch.
No, not AIDS yet.
So I'm going to crank this back up, and it'll fill the bag up again.
Oh, no.
And we go, one more time, son!
I think, seriously, because this is the 420 episode, we should be allowed to have, like, order pizza and, like, have food and shit.
During the show?
It's 420. We're getting high. Munching.
Yeah,
you know, like, snacking on shit?
Yeah, but that fucks up with the conversation.
No! You never had a great conversation in eating pizza?
Yeah, but people are watching this conversation. This conversation is like a show.
But I'm talking about all the... I'm hungry. That's what I'm starving.
I said, well, how long would it take for you to get it?
I was going to go to the fast food joint, but...
Listen, why don't you just go walk into my kitchen and just go scrounge around? We got a show to do, so...
Okay.
You know?
But we need to order pizza.
Let's order pizza.
We'll order pizza later.
That's
man.
Pimp,
we'll
man.
We'll order some pizza later. We'll order some pizza later, and the idea will be the pizza comes right before we kill this thing, okay? How dare you, motherfuckers. So, Ari was telling us something hilarious. Listen to this shit. Stop paying attention to that. I'll shut that off, man. We need to be focusing on the show, son. Ari was telling us that there's an ancient Jewish, whatever the fuck it is.
Jewish mystical thought. There's when you waste seed, you're not supposed to waste semen.
Uh-huh.
So, they say when you pull out or when you masturbate, you're not really masturbating. You're fucking a demon woman. Who's not just like a ghost. And when you go to heaven... When you go to the afterlife, you face all your kids that would have been born in the real life, but instead they're born as demon woman.
Wow.
And they're all deformed and like this, like, why did you pull out? We wanted to be born real, little boys. And you
That's
can face
awesome.
And answer all
That's
of them.
Hilarious.
I can't wait to die.
There's going
to
be
See
thousands,
all my kids.
Thousands
I
thousands.
Thought I didn't have any kids, man.
No,
I don't feel so bad now.
Dude, you've got a billion. You've got a billion monster babies.
I think it's per load. I don't know if they could. I don't know if they
count. Oh, they don't count sperm. So each
yeah.
time you're like fucking one demon.
I think so.
So how many demons do you think you got up in heaven? Damn it! I'm gonna have a much more efficient setup here as well, ladies and gentlemen. When we get back.
No.
How many demons do you think you have? If you had to guess.
I think on average, 6 a week.
You
5 a week since I was.
You shoot 6 loads a week?
Sometimes more than one a day, sometimes, you know, month.
Do you ever feel like a loser when you do more than one a day?
No, I feel like I'm alive. My dick works. That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah.
Now
still working.
Before I go to sleep.
I always feel like if I jerk off more than once a day, then I'm just obsessed.
Yeah,
obviously,
3 times a day
hungry.
Is bad. That's bad.
Obviously, I'm not horny. You know, I already jerked off. And why am I doing this? I know, but why just sit there like a little monkey at the zoo?
Yeah.
No, in the wild, you fucking... You know, you'd be badass.
What?
Spreading your seed.
You're not
man.
Spreading your seed. You're jerking off into a napkin.
But if there was a vagina there.
If there was a vagina there.
No one's ever said, no, I'd rather just jerk off. And
how crazy
like
is that?
Just go, you're as rich as you want in.
How crazy is that story?
My head feels better. I'm sorry.
That someone's telling you that masturbation is so bad that you're fucking a demon. That's like the worst case scenario. You're having
yeah.
sex with a demon and making half-demon babies that are going to be waiting for you when you die to scream and yell at you.
Yeah.
Make, you
that
know,
is because the institution of marriage, they want that. That helps religion. They
God,
want people
damn.
Making units and breeding.
It's amazing, though. Like, what? Why do they give a fuck?
I don't know.
Why do they give a fuck if you masturbate? What is it about masturbation, about no masturbation, you know, that somehow or another equates to them having more control over you? What
well, the more
it?
You don't masturbate, the more you want to fuck.
Right.
So, you know, fuck women.
And
you're married
babies.
To have babies. It's the result of babies. So the more you masturbate, the less babies.
Right. So that's got to be exactly why the Catholic Church doesn't want you having birth control too, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely way
no
easier
way
to control someone when they have kids. I feel that myself. I feel like I'm easier to control. Now that you have kids, when you have kids, man, you want everything to be nice. You know, you want everything to be easy.
Yeah.
You don't want any drama, you know? Turn like this so you can get in the camera. There we go. You know, but, man, the idea of demon babies, you're fucking a demon. How, they came up with the worst story ever. You're fucking a demon and you make babies that are half demon and they're waiting for you when you die. What the fuck, man?
It's mystical stuff.
It's like, why stop? Because by the time you figure that out, you've already jerked off like 1,000 times. You're like,
it's the same
1,000 demons,
yeah.
50,000 demons, I'm fucked either way. Yeah. Might as well enjoy this
life. You're facing an army of demons. Who cares how
there's got to be something you could do to cancel out the other demons to make up for.
Oh, good point.
There's got to be.
Is there another thing you can
do?
No,
they didn't mention that. Like, what if you led a great life, had 12 babies, you know, with your wife,
right.
But masturbated 3 times? If you get to heaven, you have 3 little demon babies. You're still going to... Your
maybe
whole life.
There's like tasks you can do on Earth that cancel out your demon babies.
Yeah.
Is there? Is there
there's got to be. You got to look into it. There's got to be, because what about people that are trying to convert into this religion?
Yeah.
They're like, I would, but God damn it, if I do that.
The Jews don't give a fuck.
I already got 75,000
demons. The Jews are the least, recruiting religion ever. They don't give a fuck.
We try to convince you not to do it.
Yeah, they make it really hard
okay.
to do it.
Also, it's a Jewish thing.
Yeah.
Is this like a regular Jewish thing?
Jewish thing.
Or is it a big beard Jewish?
No, no, no.
It's
all
fucking
hats.
All of them.
They're like, you don't want to buy.
I've never heard of this before.
Yeah.
I've never heard of it either.
They'll
that's
help
a,
you if you
that's
want
Old
to,
Testament.
But they're like,
that's like second
like
chapter Old Testament.
No, it is.
No,
like,
you know,
he studied the Torah. So like, he used to study the Torah
David.
Like 10 hours a day. You know,
do you remember
like,
any of that
stuff?
Some of it. When David was a king, the Jews were so powerful that they wouldn't allow any conversions.
Wow.
They were like, no one's doing it for the right reasons.
That's
we
deep.
Can't risk it.
That's deep.
Yeah.
And you guys, what do you guys think of Jesus?
They think that he was a real person.
Okay.
That spoke about things. He was a like a sort of a wise man, but they went off the deep end.
So they look down on Christianity for choosing Jesus as their savior and Lord?
Yes. They would say that no, that's not the right guy to choose.
It's so funny how they're all sort of kind of connected. Like Judaism is sort of kind of connected with Christianity.
Completely.
It's like that's why the all the really conservative fundamentalist Christians wanted to control Israel and support Israel because they believe in the rapture, and they believe that, you know, when the shit goes down, that's the place to be. Like, you have to protect them. But they believe that they're wrong. Even though the Bible says that they're the chosen people, the Christians just go, yeah, but you guys got the story all fucked up. We got it right.
Wouldn't it be an awesome thing for the Jews if it came out that Jesus actually never existed? Wouldn't it be like, dude, you guys, he never even existed?
That would be. But
you know what I mean? That would crush the Christians.
Well, what proof do they have that Jesus existed?
They have historical documents.
Well, I looked online, man, and apparently that's very much in debate.
Really?
Very much in debate. Yeah, there's a lot of scholars that do not believe he was an actual person.
There's
a lot of
Muslims,
scholars.
Islams believe that Jesus existed, but just was a man.
Yeah.
The Jews believe that Jesus existed and he was a man. And it would benefit their cause because they'll kill each other. They'd slice each other if you weren't their religion.
Yeah.
Well, I
believe that some of the former the great rabbis would talk about who he was, Jesus.
See, that's what my thing is. That makes me think that even though there isn't that much proof that he actually even was alive, and there's a lot of holes in that one DVD, the God that never was, all that shit. How come the Jews and the Muslims don't jump on that? Jesus Christ never existed.
Well,
why don't they?
Because they think
yeah, exactly. So that makes me think, damn, he probably was a man who was a bad motherfucker.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah,
you
that's
can't.
What it sounds
but
like.
But the issue
me.
Is, you can't
They said
prove
false
it.
Prophet. They said there's many false prophets.
Either way, if the guy existed, for sure he didn't walk on water and come back from the dead.
Yeah, that was like someone thinking Bruce Lee could really beat up 50 people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like Bruce Lee, the real guy, and Bruce Lee, the superstar, two different fucking people.
But it's
hilarious
how many people bank their life on some story that would not make any fucking sense if you told it today. Like, if you told that story today and said there was a dude who walked on water and came back from the dead, everybody would go, just shut the fuck up. That's ridiculous. But because it's 2,000 years ago, everybody's like, whoa.
That shit could really happen.
Isn't that nuts? Like, anything, like, rational people that you talk to that would... There was a guy that when we were doing Fear Factor, who we did the family Fear Factor. We came to people's houses and made them do things. You know, we traveled all across the country. This dude was a teacher. He was a fucking math teacher. And he was telling me, like, scientifically that Jesus existed. Because you can prove it because they've looked at molecules that are too complex to have just occurred naturally. That's a ridiculous argument.
Yeah.
And this is super, super smart guy. And I was listening to him talk, you know, supposedly super smart guy. And I was listening to this guy talk, and I'm like, how nutty is that? That this guy can't see that he believes in some
Also, that's not the reason you can say anything existed, because something was too amazing to exist naturally. Like, well, that could be millions and millions of reasons.
That does not, it's not
if
true.
If you see someone draw a picture of Jesus and with the caption says, this is Jesus, that's better proof.
Right, but you can never say that nothing can exist naturally. You don't know the power of nature.
Yeah.
Nature is absolutely ridiculous, completely unpredictable. There's subatomic particles that blink in and out of existence all the time. They appear in two places at once. This is science. Real shit we know that exists in nature. There's the whole pattern of nature is gigantic. The Fibonacci sequence that you see in pine cones and pineapples and all sorts of different plants, and it exists in human facial features. And this is there's a, like a mathematical code to all this stuff. It doesn't mean that there's a fucking dude pressing the button. It might mean that the whole thing is just super complicated and conscious.
What do you mean, dude pressing the button?
That's a god. That there's a dude. We want to break it down to like someone like us. We want to like make a super version of us that's running shit.
Well, yeah, you're talking about the old man with the beard in the sky. But
Jesus,
everything
this guy
you do, everything
back
you
in the dead.
Every oh no, for sure. Of
all
course
of
that.
The fables.
Of course. All that.
But it's amazing how many people
No, of course, but it sounded like you were saying that you were describing how wonderful the universe is in the Fibonacci series and how it's all like this code and structure. And
well,
then
I said the greatness
of nature.
Then
why does there have to be a God doing that? Like, to me, I was like, that there is an intelligent other side that is way too complex for us to understand in this.
Well, it's what I don't think it is. I mean, it could be that everything has an intelligence about it. What I don't think it is a single entity. I think it's much more likely that the whole
it's
an interconnected thing. We totally agree.
It's like, it's like an ocean. And then we're like little water molecules, but it's the ocean.
It's all, exactly. And that's what the psychedelic experiences feel like. It feels like you're in the ocean sometimes. It feels like you're all connected all around you to something that you don't see ordinarily.
Those mushrooms, I never told you.
Yeah.
I did them by myself on a fucking Thursday night. I decided to party by myself.
Yeah.
Dude, I took all those fucking mushrooms. I got pictures and everything. And
you took how many of them?
Huh?
How many of them did you take?
The whole thing.
Double.
That wasn't 5 grams, though.
No, not 5 grams.
It wasn't 5 grams. I've done 5 grams before. That was like 3.5.
Okay.
So I did them all myself.
Half an eighth. Yeah.
And just want to let you know.
And how was it?
It was pretty fucking insane.
Yeah.
It was insane. But not as intense as it would have been at 5 grams. It was pretty intense, but the 5 grams was like DMT. 5 grams really is that threshold point where, boom, that was about a year and a half ago when I did the 5 grams and fucking, I was at a zoo. And I just woke up in the zoo. I thought doing mushrooms at the zoo would be fucking awesome. You know what I mean? Outdoors, you hear mushrooms, go out of nature, zoo. But that is like anti-nature. Fuck. I freaked the fuck out.
Did you feel like you were in prison? Like you were watching their sorrow? And sadness?
Yeah, for sure. We're like, we just had to get the fuck out.
Oh, wow.
Zoos are super negative, man. I feel terrible when I go to the zoo. I do not like it at all. It makes me feel bad. I used to enjoy it because I used to enjoy staring at the animals. But then one time I went high. I went one time when I was super baked. And when I did, I felt terrible. I got really sad. I thought it was, you know, a terrible, terrible thing that they were doing was just taking these animals and shoving them into these cages. And they don't even get to do anything. They just pace.
Yeah, the polar bear at the LA Zoo, he'll just pace back and forth by that back door, just waiting for that fucking back white door. It's like fake ice and then a white door, you know.
To me, that's
he's just waiting right there by that white door.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
Torture.
Yeah.
That's horrible, man.
Man, I freaked the fuck out, man. Went out to the parking lot, and this chick I was with, we did the exact same thing, and we saw the exact same shit.
Yeah.
We looked at the mountains. We would stop in the middle of the parking lot because everything was connected. It was all connected. I go, look at the sky. It's like the sky would dance and reform into like Aztec writing. We'd look at the mountains in the distance, like miles away, like Pasadena Mountains, and all of a sudden, Aztec patterns. They'd form into Aztec patterns.
Isn't that interesting?
And I was going, are you seeing when I look at the mountains? What are you seeing?
Wow.
It's like the Aztec patterns dancing. Now look at the sky. The clouds are in their spot for a second, and then they form. And I remember Connor telling me, because Connor's the one who turned me on to the dude who had him.
Yeah.
He said the same. He goes, dude, the clouds are going to dance for you. I'm like, wow, that's, I didn't even pay attention to that really until it was actually happening. We get in the fucking car.
You're like, okay, cool, whatever.
I swear to God, I was driving on the freeway, freaking out. I didn't know if there was cars next to me, on the side of me, but it really did look like, as I was driving on the freeway, like I was in What Dreams May Come. Remember that shit? I was driving on the freeway, and it was like rose petals and like bushes would form in front of my car, and I'm driving.
Really?
Rose petals and bushes.
Whoa.
That's what it looked like. It was fucking insane, dude.
That, by the way, we don't want to encourage.
I just wanted to get home.
While high on mushrooms.
No, I was just trying to get home.
That was a terrible mistake.
All I wanted to do is get home, get in my little fucking dark room, and just close my eyes and enjoy that light show. Because that light show was fucking insane. The twirling beauty of... You just can't even explain it. It's just fucking insane. That's all I wanted
why
to see.
Why do you think that you see certain, like, religious symbolism and, like, Hindu shit and Buddhas and...
That's where they got it from.
You think that's where they got it
from?
Fuck
yeah.
It must be, right?
Dude, people have been doing mushrooms since the dawn of time.
Right.
Of course. That, when I looked at them, I'm like, that's where all this shit comes from.
Yeah.
All that Alex Gray shit.
Yeah.
He's telling you that's where it's coming from.
Well,
it's
Alex Gray is. But
yeah.
These old... Like you know those things that I have in my my office? The Garuda? Those birds? You know what I'm talking about in the media room? They're these crazy psychedelic birds. And when I did DMT once, I saw those things. I saw like that imagery. And then when I went to a store and saw them for sale, I'm like, oh my God, whoever created that thing like was there. Like they had to have seen that. Like you could see that first.
Yeah.
You could see, well, why is that?
I don't know.
Is it something that's already there? We just can't tune into it until we take psychedelics? Or is it the same hallucination happens to every person that takes a drug?
Is that
possible?
I don't know. I think that it's just, it opens up your senses somehow to this other dimension or all these dimensions that are all around us. And
right, like we're in a radio. And we're only tuned into 97.1 because
yeah.
An infinite number of stations.
So we're just going
just
to another station.
Things weird.
That's possible too.
What was that?
I think it just fucks with the brain and makes it see things weird.
It's possible.
I don't personally think that. I don't think the shit that I'm seeing, I don't know what you're seeing, but the shit that I'm seeing with 5 grams, I don't know if you've done 5 grams, but the shit you see when you do 5 grams is, for me, who knows, it seems impossible for me to dream that up in my brain. Like, it's just the most beautifully constructed, flowing shapes of nothing random. And, you know, when you're not high, you close your eyes, you see, like, random blackness, and there's no pattern. It's just like, you might see lint-type flashes of light. But when you close your eyes on mushroom, all of a sudden, there's this show that's about 1,000 times more complex than that visualizer you got on iTunes. And that's pretty fucking cool. That visualizer's pretty cool. It's in that same vein, but 1,000 times more complex.
Yeah.
Way more complex. And I'm like, I'm not designing this. I'm not controlling this. There's someone else controlling this. Someone else is making this shit. Not me.
It seems like that's definitely one option. But another option is that stuff supercharges your perceptions and just makes your imagination more hypersensitive, and it makes your visualizations go wild because it reacts with, you know, all
this sorts
of your eyes that you use to see things.
This is a parasite that lives in the sewers, and it only feeds on cat's brains. So what it does is it...
it's like a worm, right?
Yeah, but it lets rats eat them. And then it burrows into their brain. And the only thing it changes in the rats, it doesn't change any of their behavior at all, except it takes away their fear of cats.
Whoa.
So they will get eaten by a cat. Everything else is the same. They eat, they breathe, they do everything.
When
they see a cat, they're like, oh, what's up? Nothing major. Cat kills it, goes into the...
That's incredible.
And that's,
you know,
his brain. He's like, no, everything's totally fine.
We talked about this one on the show. The other one that they do, where there's a worm that gets inside a grasshopper and convinces the grasshopper to commit suicide so that it can hatch out of its body. It grows inside the grasshopper and teaches the grasshopper to jump into the water and kill itself.
Wow.
It's an aquatic worm. So it has to be hatched in the fucking water. How nutty are things like that? That's just crazy. That's just like existing on a whole new level of comprehension.
Yeah, like just that alone right there is so fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. It's just another like You know, there's something going on, dude.
I just think
there's something going on.
I think, well, there's definitely something going on, but I think our idea that our culture is based on is just that we want it to be close to us. We want it to be like a super version of us, which is like what a God is. It's like a super version of a human. But, you know, with all these rules and God is, you know, fucking kind of vindictive and gets pissed at you if you fuck up. And you know, a lot of religions is willing to kill you if you don't listen to them. You know, we want it like a super version of us. But it's much more possible that this whole thing is just connected to something that you can't stop. You know, some big, powerful thing that feeds off itself. And there, everything in this world has a role and plays a part in this thing. It's just we're used to it. We don't realize how nutty it really fucking is because we're used to it. Because it's just a normal part of our day. And people get used to anything. People in Africa have giant plates they stick in their lips. And all the girls do it. And they're used to it. We just get used to stupid shit. And once we're used to something, then everything becomes fine. And then we think that there's like some sort of a grand order to things. You know, it's really getting weirder and weirder as I got older. As I get older and I look at, you know, at our culture and I look at life on this planet, and I look at my own mortality, you know, the fact that I'm like, you know, the next half of my life is going to be the half of my life where my body doesn't work good. You know, that's just the way it is. Just getting close to dying. You know, you're going to have health issues if you don't watch your diet. You know, you're going to make, you have to make sure you get the proper sleep or you might get heart attacks and shit. Like things start going wrong. When you really start assessing this whole big picture of what this really is, it's like, God, it's like I feel like I've been flying without a manual for so long. Like just operating my life, not really having any idea how to do it correctly, just fucking up, learning from my fuck-ups, starting from scratch. I feel like it's got to be a way better way to learn life than the way we do it. So it's like by the time you get...
efficient.
By the time you can get yourself and your own personality figured out and your own, the way you interact with people figured out, by the time you get that figured out, it's like, God, you're already dying.
Yeah. Like, I think every guy has an age they think, oh, if I know what I do now and I go back to that age, I can get laid so much.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, if you were like, if you look like you were 30 for like 30 years, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Then you figure that shit
if
out.
If I was like 19 and I knew what I know now, I'd be like,
they need better,
okay.
They need more advancements in skincare for men.
It seems like we're not supposed to live long enough to figure this out. It seems like the reason why turtles live to be 1,000 years old and people only live to be 100 is because we're not supposed to. It would
turtles can live 1,000 years?
Yeah, there's some tortoises.
No way.
Yeah,
I
might
know that.
Years.
I watched Discovery all the fucking time.
was that
on National Geographic? God damn it. 1,000? Like today, right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
God damn.
1,000 years old.
They're swimming.
Damn.
So they literally lived like back when people were writing. You know, like, fucking, what was the 1,000-year-old writing?
They should put, like, little black boxes on these fucking, like,
they
a baby journal.
On paper.
Yeah.
They had to write everything out on paper.
Yeah.
Everything was written out. 1,000 years ago, they might have been doing it on animal skins, too, a lot. You know? That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Dead Sea Scrolls, that shit was all written on animal skins. Those motherfuckers didn't even know paper. They didn't even have paper back.
There could be a Dead Sea Scroll on a fucking turtle right now.
Yeah, attached to one.
I
wish I knew for sure who's telling the truth about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Because I don't have enough time to learn ancient Hebrew or what is it, Aramaic, and go back and read the Dead Sea Scrolls and decipher it for myself. But there's all this dispute on what the Dead Sea Scrolls actually mean. And some people say that it contains all kinds of nutty shit, like fucking UFOs and flying saucers. And, I mean, there's guys who have deciphered the Dead Sea Scrolls. Like the Gianmarco Allegro guy says it's all about mushrooms. He said all was about was them eating the Amanita muscaria mushroom and fertility rituals. And he breaks it all down, like the origins of the words. But people argue against him, and I don't know if who's right. It's too complex.
They should have a fucking live thing on ABC where they all the best scientists on the planet, all the best linguists, they get together. That should be important.
Yeah,
let's decipher this shit in front of the world.
That,
live
right.
Satellite feed from fucking France
Allegro,
or something. You know?
I believe Allegro passed away, the guy who wrote that book. But he was one of the head guys deciphering the Dead Sea Scrolls. He worked on it for 14 years, and he was the only agnostic in the group. You know, they had a bunch of people that were ordained ministers, and they were the decipherers, and they were all religious people. And he started out a religious person, but when he started studying theology, he he realized somewhere along the line, this is obviously bullshit, and he just became agnostic. So he looked at the whole picture completely different than all the other guys. They all refuted his findings. But there's a lot of people that say he's right. A lot of people that say that he was the head scholar. He was the number one dude, and he was the guy who had it all right. He was the guy who was looking at it objectively, and everybody else was looking at it with a religious slant. This fucking guy thinks it was all about mushrooms. It was all about psychedelic mushrooms, that they would hide these mushrooms from the Romans, and they would hide like what the magic and what the mushrooms can do, and the way they hid it from them is in stories. And they didn't even write it down for like 1,000 years. They just told each other as a story for 1,000 years. So it just became all fucked up. And so he breaks down like ancient words. Like he broke down the word Christ. He brought it back to an ancient Sumerian word that means a mushroom covered in God's semen.
Nice.
Because when they thought it was raining, they thought God was coming on the earth. That's why things would come up out of the earth. Like, cum wasn't bad to them. So, like, when God would rain and he was coming on the earth, these mushrooms would just appear because they didn't have microscopes. They didn't know what a fucking a spore is. They couldn't see microscopic things. So they didn't see any seed or anything. And all of a sudden, these big mushrooms appear, like, the next day. They grow quick. And then they start eating them, and they trip their fucking balls out. They don't want anybody else to know about this. So they tried to hide this information. They were told, they were keeping it from their enemies.
Wow, cute.
Isn't that nuts?
God jerking off.
That's how they used to look at it, man.
Or did he pull out of like some goddess thing?
Maybe.
He pulled out.
He's got like,
he came somehow.
Dude, you gotta think about this.
That is the story. Like, daddy. Man.
You gotta think about this. If it feels so good to have a baby right now, think about how good it feels to have a baby right now. It's an amazing, incredible feeling. But most babies now, they live. They live to be grown-ups. They go to be adults. They you don't have to worry about them getting eaten by lions. You don't have to worry about plague. But the people that lived back then have the same love for their kids as we do now. But they couldn't help it. So people were dying left and right. Like, there's nothing you can do to stop it. That must have been nuts, man. That must have been fucking horrifying.
Have kids that just died. Well,
must be why they had all these like rituals. And all, it was like fertility rituals were so important. They wanted to have as many kids as possible.
And to keep it going.
They wanted
the mortality rate for
children. Ovulation.
Roman times is 50%. Half the people die. Half the kids.
God
die.
Damn.
Before what? What is the?
It's probably this, like adulthood. I guess that's the only thing that makes sense.
Like only half of them make it to adulthood.
Okay. God,
it's so fucked up. The condition.
Can you imagine what it was like back then?
That was on Discovery, so I don't know the History Channel. Don't quote me on that.
It's like 14.
Oh, no, that makes sense.
But I remember that.
Look, even if it wasn't 50%, it had to be a high number. I mean, they just didn't have...
You guys, can someone check that? Mortality rate in Roman times?
Google that shit, son.
I think it's 50%. Could be wrong.
Dude, I've had 2 major surgeries. Both my knees reconstructed. Both ACLs. And one more minor surgery, my meniscus surgery on my knee.
Yeah.
But if I lived... You know, 1,000 years ago, I'd be fucked, man. I'd be fucked.
You wouldn't be doing jiu-jitsu.
No.
So that wouldn't have happened.
Dude.
You wouldn't have been playing
softball.
But it could have happened anyway. People do it working.
You wouldn't have been a softball champion back then. Man.
Softball.
I smashed my knee. So
can you imagine?
Yeah.
There's guys out there that are fucking champions at softball.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They're the fucking... Mark McGuire of softball.
Yeah.
There's guys out there.
Well, dude, there's that crazy... Those
who is the Hicks and Gracie of softball? We need to find that out.
Yeah.
Hicks and Gracie of softball.
How accurate can you be when you whip that fucking thing around?
They are.
That looks dope.
That's nuts.
Them chicks.
Yeah.
They go, whoosh.
I don't think I've ever seen a chick throw that hard regular. Have you ever seen a chick throw that hard regular?
No, that's clearly the right way to do it.
Yeah, why do they throw in the name?
Yeah.
That's like...
You know what it's like? It's like breaking the balls in pool. You know how like you try to break the balls really hard?
Yeah.
But if you watch like a little person, they have like a loose wrist and just smash. There's like a timing to it where they just know exactly how to put their weight into it. And just
yeah.
Isn't it weird? Like, jiu-jitsu is such a strange thing when it comes to techniques. It's like the more you do techniques, the more those techniques just become ingrained in the way your body moves. Your body just gets real good at the movement. So you teach your body movement.
What do you think of Jay Shields' control on that?
Fucking incredible. Jay Shields is a natural 170-pounder. And Dan Henderson's a monster. Dude, he took... First of all, I'm just impressed as fuck that he survived that first round. That first round, he got face planted. He got
blasted like Henderson.
Do you have it here?
On the butt. No, I erased it. Henderson hit him on the butt.
You erased it?
Yeah, I erased it. We get it online, man. We could get it online. We'll watch that too. But Henderson face plants.
Yeah, he just had
shield.
Blindly dive for a leg.
Dude, he got cracked. And then Henderson hits him again with a hard uppercut, dude. And he goes down again. He got fucked up in that first round.
I was like, oh, he's got no chance.
But then he came on strong in the second round. And Henderson started to fade a little bit. And Jake Shields started taking him down, fucking controlling him. And they were saying that that Henderson's been having problems with his back. So, you know, he looked kind of stiff. That could have been what's going on. It could have been why he couldn't stuff the takedown. But, man, Shields looked good. Total control. Mounting him over and over again. And Henderson could not shake him. Couldn't finish them. And never went for one arm bar, but that's it.
It's 420.
It is 420 on 420.
Ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness.
I am high.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. You're not supposed to get this high.
I think 420 is time to order pizza.
No.
What do you think? Can me and Ari order pizza and you just give us that address?
We'll do it at the end, man. This is a TV show.
No, it just takes us. They don't give a shit.
They do, though. There's people listening to this on iTunes, too. At this point in time, they're already like,
are we allowed to eat pizza? I bet no one says no. Watch it. Say, yeah, dude.
I think Reese is a good idea.
They're all like, yeah, yeah. Like, look, they're all looking at Reese. Yeah, like, dude, go for it. Fucking six new slides.
The people oh, shit. ITunes, they can't call.
No sardines, please. Fuck yeah.
You can't even read it, son.
Look.
I need to get you goddamn.
More pizza. Pizza for everyone.
Eyeballs fixed. Hey, how come you haven't gotten that operation to get your eyeballs fixed?
See? Nope. No pizza. Fuck you.
Both of you guys.
Fuck you, Appy 387.
Hey, how come you haven't got your eyeballs fixed? You scared of that?
No, I'm not scared at all. I just haven't done it.
Would you want to do it, though?
Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, probably eventually.
But, like the contacts are just so easy. Like, I don't even know their end.
I never even got contacts.
Sometimes I leave my contacts in for, like, 3 or 4 days and shit. Yeah. I don't think you're supposed to.
But don't you want to get them fixed, though?
Yes.
Wouldn't you like to not have the contacts?
Yeah.
You also got to make an appointment.
It is pretty incredible. All you have to do is put these little things in your eye, and now you can see better.
Yeah, I see fine.
How nutty is that? I mean, seeing is so fucking important. And you can fix it with a little piece of plastic.
How did they figure that shit
Woo!
Out? How did they figure out contacts? Someone figure that out.
That's incredible. That's incredible. That might be one of the coolest inventions of all time.
I want to see a documentary.
Dude, it's nuts, man. All the shit that people can do right now. Think about what all the shit that people can do right now. It's getting so nutty. It's getting so crazy.
Yeah.
What the fuck is going to be the next big thing? Because no one saw the internet coming. You know, no one ever thought it was going to affect people the way it's affecting the human race right now. Because if they did, they would have never let it get out. No corporations would have ever wanted the internet. It's too tricky. You know, it's too hard to control. It's too unpredictable. Well, what the fuck is going to be the next thing? Because this isn't going to be the last thing.
You don't think the internet, that's it? It's got to be like, first there's going to be like hologram laptops where you're just gonna need like maybe a little block, and then it just blows up or something.
Thought processes in your brain.
Gonna be neural implants.
You just think and it happens.
I think it's gonna be neural implants. Or the other idea that I have was not a neural implant, but that they figure out the frequency of your brain. Like, what if they get your brain to work like a Wi-Fi signal? Like, what if your brain, like, obviously you know. Input comes into your brain in the form of hearing things and seeing things and these electrical impulses, wherever the hell sight and sound is created and how you represent that stuff in your head. That's like, those are like signals that are coming in from your eyes, from your organs. What if there's a way to get that signal out into the air? So instead of like it having to be like directly, you know, input into your brain with, you know, with just, you know, with sight signals and with, you know, the signals that your ear is giving. What if there's a way to tune the whole mind like a Wi-Fi with some sort of a neural implant or something that, like, activates a certain portion of the brain and literally allows your brain to tune in to everyone else's brain? Like, we all, like, share a giant hard drive.
Yeah.
Like, that totally seems possible. It seems to me like they just have to figure out how that would work and what kind of a frequency that would operate under. But if they can introduce all sorts of things into people's brains. This guy, they did an operation on him, and they stimulated a part of his brain, and he started. I forget what they were trying to do. This was an accident, but in stimulating part of his brain, he started remembering shit from his childhood, like in graphic detail, like it was happening right there, right in front of him. Like they literally figured out how to charge and jumpstart your memories. You know, if they can do shit like that, they can introduce thoughts to people's minds. They can read vision. They can read vision now. They can like put little things on your head, and you look at something, and a computer will show an image of what you're looking at.
That's incredible.
It's insane. I mean, not good. Not a good image. They haven't figured it out good yet. But it can read letters. You can like see the letter A.
Really?
Yes.
But not like. Pictures.
Can't be, not yet. But dude, it's close, man.
Well, then they'll be able to figure out like memories too.
Exactly.
Close
well,
your
we,
eyes
we might.
Focus
what,
on
how do we rethink the world if we realize that you know memories are completely unpredictable? That memories are they're so easy to scramble. You know,
yeah.
when you think about like how much of human history was just written down and spoken on memories.
Lately,
how bad are memories?
Lately, when I get to argue with somebody about something. Some, you know, ways things happen. And they're like, no, that's not what happened. And they're like, you know what? We're just remembering it differently. And
yeah.
I have no idea if I'm the one who's wrong or they are.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's, we don't
it's a good way to look at it, man.
You know? And I'd like to say, like, no, you're remembering it wrong. But it's like, why do I think I'm the one?
You gotta be real careful about that. I went back to my town where I grew up in, and I hadn't been there in like 10 years.
Yeah.
And I remembered everything different, man. I'll never forget that. My house looked different. The fucking street looked different. I thought the staircase was on a different side of the street. Like I had it all fucked up in my head.
That's weird. I went to the place that I lived at when I was 3 in LA, an apartment that my dad got my mom.
Yeah.
And it's exactly like I remember.
Really?
Yeah. I was shocked.
The different memories go different ways.
Some places change though, you know.
Some places do change.
They might like knock down a building and change shit around. You don't know. That building was exactly the same like I remember.
Wow. How old were you when
3.
You remembered it?
3.
Wow, that's you got 3-year-old.
I got like maybe 4 images from 3.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
You know what I mean?
But
the way the street looked there, you know,
yeah.
The Safeway.
It's weird.
I remember that
like,
Safeway used to be there.
Right? I feel like at this time, you're just remembering having remembered.
Yeah.
You know? So you're remembering the memory you had a year ago, and then you're remembering the year memory you had 2 years before
that.
That's
very important.
Like,
you remember your memory of the memory.
Yeah, I don't even think I have those original old memories before. I just remember thinking about
them. And then
times.
One little thing can throw you off, and then it shifts your idea of, oh, no, that's not what happened. This happened, and then all of a sudden you see it better. But you were just committed to the way you saw it 10 seconds ago, and it was the incorrect way. It's not fucking reliable enough. It's what I was thinking when I was thinking before about like people like the reason why turtles live to be 1,000 years and people only live to be 100 is that I don't think you can keep our purpose going and keep us living because like the way society seems to work best is if people don't live long enough to figure out that it's all bullshit, you know, because if they do then chaos, restructuring, everything goes to a different way, and that's not the way that humans are going right now. The way we're going is like some sort of a global domination thing, some sort of a technological singularity thing. We're moving further and further and further. If we were able to step back and, as a culture, get old enough to realize how silly that all is and realize how much better life would be if we all just relaxed and shared resources and be nice to each other and treat the world as if we're friends and work this all out together, but nothing would ever get done. Things get done because people are competing. When people are competing, people hate the other people they're competing against, whether it's countries or companies or political parties or anything. So when that kind of shit happens, that competition is why we make newer and better things. If there was no competition like that, there wouldn't be the pressure to be the best at everything. If you didn't hate the other people, there wouldn't be this pressure to dominate them and crush them.
But can
that's
we live
a part
in
of progress.
Can we live in a world like the Amazon Indians? In the whole world.
Well,
like
there's
that.
A reason why those dudes are still running around with fucking pieces of animal flesh covering their dick.
Is that wrong? But is that wrong?
I don't know if it's wrong.
Maybe that's right.
Maybe it is. It's certainly an alternative. But I think we have to look at human nature as being natural. And I think that if we look at everything else as being natural, if we look at the way wolves behave and the way, you know, monkeys behave, we look at their simple lives as being natural. Why don't we look at the course of humanity as being natural? We're pretending that it's something that we all consciously control. But if we do, why is it so fucked up still? Why is there so much political corruption when we know there's so much political corruption? Why are we still going to war when we know that wars are ridiculous and that they're only waste for profit? Why do we keep continuing along the same lines, even though rationally we must know at a certain point in time this is an insane way to live? Well, maybe it's because that's just the way people live. That's what people do.
I believe it.
That we're moving towards, this behavior pushes us towards something. It pushes us towards some creation.
Some kind
of
some global purpose.
Yeah, something. Some end of
humanity. We're all in our little worlds thinking, you know, it's all about us. But meanwhile, you know, whatever's going on, you're just like you're just producing an energy that needs to, you know, collectively do something
right.
In the world or something.
Like,
we got our little lives.
And it goes to what Ari was saying about that parasite. Like, think about that. Think about the animal that this parasite lives in. The animal this parasite lives in has no fucking idea.
Yeah.
You know? They have no idea.
No idea. Not aware of its existence at all. It's
the rat has no idea. The cat has no idea when it eats the rat. I mean, the whole thing is bananas. It's bananas. And it's all interconnected.
They said it's possible to make those crazy cat ladies, too. Is that a few people aren't immune to the fucking parasite?
Well,
they friends,
said
they
there, is a,
around
themselves there is
cats.
A certain...
They don't know why.
There is a certain cat parasite that has infected a tremendous amount of the female population in, like, Brazil and a bunch of other countries. And this is an actual parasite that makes women more docile.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's
probably the same thing.
It's probably
docile, no fear.
I have to look that up because I remember that it does.
Yeah, but if it makes them docile, we
makes
should
nicer, maybe.
Market that shit.
I know, right?
That
maybe that's why women in Brazil. I have to find this. I have to Google this right now. This is too strange. I have to find this out because I can't remember what it was when I read it. I'm just parasite. In Brazil, cats, women. I gotta find this fucking article. Mood-altering cat parasites make women friendly and men into jerks.
Dude, that's Brazil.
And men into jerks?
I mean, think about how many really friendly girls come from Brazil and how many super aggressive dudes. That's hilarious. Yeah? If you look up what I looked up, you come up with quite a few articles about it. It's a parasite that causes rats to sacrifice themselves to cats, may also change human behavior, making women more outgoing and warm-hearted, and men more jealous and suspicious. The Toxoplasma protist is shed in cat feces, which are then eaten by rats. Infected rats become fearless in the presence of cats, which makes them easier to catch, which in turn spreads the disease to new cats. Holy shit.
It makes women nicer, and it makes men douchebags. That's hilarious. Nature is totally rooting against us.
They're finding new ways to keep us fucked up.
How crazy is that, man? How crazy is that? Because men who are more douchey are more likely to fuck a bunch of different women and impregnate them, like fuck their friends' women, and you know what I'm saying? Like, the more douchey the guy is, the more he's gonna do like creepy shit to go get laid. So the more likely that's gonna make like accidental babies all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna keep spreading.
Yeah, maybe nature likes douchebags.
Well, it's like, it goes back to what I said. It's like, it's almost like you don't really achieve unless there's competition. And competition doesn't really mean anything unless it's competition like primal. You know, a man who hates you. You hate him and he hates you. And it really forces you to work hard. You know, that's why companies fucking hate each other. Companies that compete against each other are rarely friendly.
Yeah.
You know, they fucking hate each other. Maybe they're supposed to. Maybe that's the most efficient way to get things done. You have to light a fire under someone's ass in order to get the most productivity out of them.
Hate equals productivity.
Yeah, it's like your life would certainly be better off if you didn't have that you know, that aspect to you. But you wouldn't be as successful if you didn't have that aspect to you either.
So
it's like a management
fucked up
thing.
Shit, like war, you know, that's how it's supposed to happen.
That's a terrible conclusion. It's a terrible conclusion, but it might be that everything we do is the way we're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
There you have it, Joe. It's for war.
It's not that I want to do it, but someone's going to do it. You know, it's just the way they've been doing business forever. It's going to take way too long for that to settle down. All these people that promised that they're not going to have war anymore, like look at Obama. He promised that he was going to stop all this. He's going to pull people out. And just
more people in.
Just more in than ever.
No, I saw a thing. Remember how George Bush is getting made fun of for playing golf?
Yeah.
They said Obama has already played more golf than George Bush has in, like, I think his first term. Within his first year. He's played 32 times. They said George Bush played 28. And he got a lot of flack for 28 times.
Obama's a very smart guy. Very good speaker. That's really all I have to say about him. Right? Other than that, I'm not seeing anything different. He's not doing any of the things he said he would do. You know, I don't know about the stimulus package. I don't know what's going to really happen with that or whether that's...
How come we haven't looked into that shit?
Because it's too fucking complicated. And
did you look into healthcare?
No.
You didn't even look into it? You didn't bother? Nah. Fuck it.
Well... My problem with all this stuff is where do I put my attention? How much time do I have in a day? What do I want to think about? Do I want to concentrate on, how are they fucking us? Where's this more? Is more corruption coming in? What is this? Do I really want to focus on that?
Or sometimes. Do you want to focus on the fucking November ballot when they legalize pot completely?
That would be insane.
What's the latest on that?
If they do
it's
that,
on the ballot.
Ari and Eddie and myself are medical patients.
Yeah.
We are under California
law. Sick.
Yeah, we're all sick.
I have insomnia, lower back pain.
I've gotten injured. I have two surgeries on my knees.
Yeah.
It's all real.
Yeah.
So, and it's a nice calming agent for you, like, during the day. It's a perspective enhancer, right?
I just do it for the insomnia.
I say I don't smoke pot all the time. I just smoke before I have sex, before I do comedy, before I write comedy, before I do jiu-jitsu, before I know I'm going to eat something delicious.
Yeah.
So it's not all the time. It's just before cool shit to make it
better. I almost feel like now whenever I'm like, I'm going to get a burrito or something, it's like, let me make this better, and then I'll get the burrito.
The first time Eddie got me high, we went and got ice cream sundaes.
He was like, what is this?
You went on stage that night and you were talking about how great that ice cream sundae was. You couldn't believe it.
It was the greatest thing ever.
You had to write. You wrote material about how good it tasted.
It was so good. Well, right away, the material made more sense. Like I could write material like right there. Like,
by the
first time I got on.
By the way, the Iron Sheik smoked weed only during his big fights, before all Hulk Hogan fights. It's so crazy to know that. That's what he said. He likes smoking weed after he trains and after he wrestles, unless it's a big match like Bob Backlund and all the Hulk Hogan. He was always high during those matches. He loves weed. He knows a lot about weed. Iron Sheik knows his shit.
That's hilarious.
He also knows a lot of other shit too, but
the Iron Sheik is a pothead.
I got a fucking 45 minutes worth of interview with him. I'm gonna start posting little clips.
Where
I got it all.
This? Where?
This is what you weren't there when I told the story last night?
I walked in towards the end of it.
Oh, okay. My buddy Danny calls me up and goes, "Dude, I'm gonna fucking meet Iron Sheik right now." How the fuck did that happen? He goes, "He's in town for like the comic book
Comic Con, maybe,
whatever, like a comic book convention." He goes, and I Twittered his manager and I asked his manager if he could, if I gave him $200 if he could record an answering machine. He wanted to make one like the one Joey has for me. He loves it. He wanted Iron Sheik to have or to do his. So the manager, you know, they need money, dude. You know what I mean? The manager goes, "Come on down. We're at this hotel." And I go, "Oh, shit." And he goes, "You want to roll?" I go, "Fuck yeah." So he jumped in, went to the hotel. But they were waiting outside. And like Danny pulled up and goes, "Fuck. It looks like they're in a fucking big hurry," because he was texting them, "Hurry up. Where are you guys at? We got to go to the airport." He goes, "Fuck." I wanted to give him $200 to sit and rap with him and get a lot of shit. You know, so he said, "Fuck it. Whatever. So let's do it really quick." So he pulls into this hotel. Iron Sheik's like rude and shit. He's like, "Oh, we got to go to the airport. Let's make this quick. Let's make this quick." We're like, "Oh, man, okay, whatever." "So unless you want to take me to the airport, you know, like, will you drive me to the airport?" And we're like, yeah. That way we get him for fucking 40 minutes, man. So we had him in the car. Video, dude, we had this fun with him.
Awesome. You should make
a
documentary
out
of
that. It's like 45, minutes of classic shit.
Just take the whole 45 minutes, let's put it online in one chunk.
Yeah, definitely.
Like a documentary.
Really?
I
want to
see every
minute
of that.
There's certain pieces that... They need to be cut to make them funnier.
Really?
yeah, because we did a lot of cool.
Because
he gets paid. He's like a super villain through. It's like almost 70. And you just say, "Okay, say." And his manager, who's his nephew, let's say he barely speaks English. His English ain't that great. And was and like Danny knows all these rock stars, and he goes, you say Westmoreland, say Westmoreland, fuck him. And then his manager goes, bring him down, set him up, and then take him home. And it's like these code words. It's on the video. I forget what it is. Slam him, take him home, and then glaze him at the end. Or some weird lingo. So then he goes, okay, Tommy Lee, fuck Tommy Lee, fuck Bam Anderson, big boobs. I am the chic, all camel clutch, you Tommy Lee. So he would just say all these names, so he wants to cut him up and like send these guys the messages like, here's Iron Sheik talking mad shit. And it's always, fuck you in the ass. Put you in the camel clutch, fuck your mother, and just he's
disrespect.
Yeah, and then you would be humble.
Yeah,
thank you.
You would be humble.
It's like he's got his. That's how he makes his money. Now give me some money. I'll say, who do you want me to say? It's like,
what is his personality like outside of that? Like a nice guy. Like he's not. So he's not like that all the time.
Man, you got to see. You got to see the clip.
Damn, he's teasing.
I got it. You can see it.
Well, but we'll put it online later. That's hilarious, man. That's one of those dudes that I would love to meet. When I met Hulk Hogan, I was like, holy shit, I'm here talking to Hulk Hogan. You know, like when I had to do that interview with him, and he's like, brother, you know, we're getting fired up at TNA, brother. And I'm like, god damn, I'm talking to Hulk fucking Hogan.
Yeah. Dude, Iron Sheik was probably all-time number one villain ever.
Probably.
Think about it. What was bigger than Iron Sheik?
Andre the Giant.
He wasn't really a villain.
Andre
he was
the
like
Giant
half a villain.
Like,
he was good. He was like half villain.
Half villain. Sometimes
Iron Sheik was fucking evil, dude.
Yeah.
He was Iranian. We're going nuclear war type shit.
Yeah.
You know, that was deep.
Yeah.
There wasn't another crazier villain than him. He's on a cane. He can barely walk.
Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov.
All
not,
those guys got really badly hurt from wrestling. You know,
Piper.
Jesse Ventura.
They're fucked.
Jesse
Piper's
Ventura is hit for a place.
He
talks
shit on
Jake
Snake. Jake the Snake Roberts. He crushes him. I want to get dirt from
Jake
all
the
wrestlers. Talking about Hulk Hogan. He's, oh man, he's man.
Those guys
he's different.
All have to get operated on, man. They all have to get operated on. That's a tough life. So such a tough life to do that every night. What they're doing is nutty shit, man. Flying off the turnbuckles.
He talks about Draculino.
How does he know Draculino?
He just does.
What is Draculino?
You'll see.
Draculino. Draculino's this guy who said things that weren't very nice about Eddie Bravo.
What did he say? You don't brush your teeth in the morning?
No. Like he started the interview. Like they asked him. Some guy's interviewing him, and then he's this jiu-jitsu legend, and some guy's interviewing him, and says, the video starts on the Eddie Bravo section of the video.
Yeah.
He's got, like, Draculino on the gi, Draculino on world champions, Draculino on training, Eddie, and then they got the Eddie Bravo.
This guy's a champion, Draculino.
I guess.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what
I always heard about him. I always knew about him. I never knew what he looked like until I saw the video. I would have never recognized him. But he's supposed to be one of the
very highly regarded.
Yeah, one of the best guys at Baja Gracie. Older guy now, probably 40-something. And the video starts off out. Who? And they go, what do you think of Eddie Bravo? And then he goes, who, Johnny Bravo? Oh, Johnny Bravo? No, Eddie Bravo. No, Johnny Bravo? Oh, Johnny Bravo. Like, he's just like, oh, yeah, you really thought he said Johnny Bravo. Like that's even funny.
Yeah.
You know, and then immediately it starts off with just a bunch of backhanded compliments like, oh yeah, he's got some good positions. Oh yeah, but, you know, Nino already had a high guard. Like, he was like basically saying that Nino had my style of guard first. When me and Nino style guards are totally different. They're very different.
You off.
I mean, we both play, you know, we do omoplatas and stuff, and I got the go-go plata for him. But the actual style of our guards is very different. And obviously he doesn't know that, you know. He hasn't really paid attention good enough to know the difference. Big fucking difference. And then he says other stuff like, it's just a bunch of backhanded compliments. It wasn't very, but
yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
And so Sheik knew about that.
Huh?
So the Sheik knew about that?
Oh, I don't know.
Interview?
I don't know.
He said a lot of good things about me. Thanks, man. Draculino said cool shit about me.
Yeah.
He likes me.
I really can't say anything bad about Draculino. I mean, I don't even fucking know him.
Well, you know what, man? I think there's a lot of people that don't know you. and you have a polarizing effect because you're so controversial, because just, I mean, the way you look, the way you act, you know, your behavior is very controversial. So, you know, you think about, like, most jiu-jitsu people, jiu-jitsu instructors, they're not, like, these wild musician motherfuckers, you know, that come up with jiu-jitsu moves because they're high on weed. Like, that fucks up their whole dynamic, their whole view of what, you know, jiu-jitsu is. And so because a lot of dudes don't know you, I think that's where, like, the controversy comes in. But if they got to know you, they'd realize that you're just a completely open-minded dude who's willing to accept techniques from anywhere and gives people credit all the time. And you invent moves, or you teach moves based on people's names, you know, like the Duda, or the different techniques that you got, the Jean-Jacques sweep, that you got from each individual. You give them all credit. They just don't. They don't know. They see you getting all this credit for this, you know, revolutionary type of guard, and so they just assume that it's all bullshit. That it's all overhyped. But really, it's not. It's not overhyped. You got some weird, wild shit. You put it together in like a real system, you know, and it's very legit. It's very unusual. And you're willing to talk to anybody and have them fuck with it and come up with their own stuff. I mean, look at all the different things that you've added from your students. Look at all the moves, Edwin stuff. You know, all you know, how you start incorporating that in the class. You know, all sorts of different shit. The Japanese necktie, like, you're always, you know, adding, whenever there's a new thing, you're always adding it and always giving the person credit who created it.
That's one thing. That's probably the one thing that the biggest misconception, the biggest...
Is that you take credit for things, yeah.
Yeah, is that I take moves and I change the names and then I pretend like I made them up and I put a whole new name on. Like, there's a lot of people out there that think that. And that's like kind of true, or like not really sort of 50. It's totally the opposite. It's the opposite. I give everybody fucking credit.
Yeah. Well, like, you know? The twister, you know, when you first started doing the twister and it's that wrestling move, the guillotine.
Yeah, that was the big thing, because I never called it the twister. It was the wrestler's guillotine to me, but the guillotine was already taken.
The twister, right?
And Jean-Jacques. It was, the guillotine was already taken in jiu-jitsu and submission grappling and all that shit. So when I would call it the guillotine, the Brazilians just called it the twister, and it stuck after a while. So a lot of people think, like, wrestlers go, yeah, that did that in high school, man. I'm like, yeah, you got to know the story. So real quick, it's easy to convince those guys if they ask about me, like, what's up with this twister thing? You know, that's a guillotine in wrestling. They go, yeah, he's got a bunch of moves like that, dude. He just changed his names. And then real quick, now I got to dig myself out of a deep hole with a lot of people like that. That's like a total opposite misconception, that I like take moves and steal them. And, you know, it's not like I did it for a while and then I had to stop and slow down and change my ways. From day one, my first book, I give everyone credit. First book,
really
Marcelo, Silverado, Duda,
yeah.
All that shit. I get pissed off when people learn techniques from someone else and I know them personally and I know where they got the move from. And then they start showing it to someone and they don't bring up the person that taught them. That offends me. I don't always remember to bring up names, but I try to as much as I can.
Do you think of jiu-jitsu moves as like a creative thing that you're adding to like one big gigantic like piece of artwork, like the martial art itself? Like when you invent a new technique, like you invent some new sweep or some new way to set up a gogo plata, and then you add it to the jiu-jitsu language. Do you feel like that's what it is? Like a, it's almost like you feel like it's like a piece of art. So like it's something that you create. And people don't give you credit for creating that, and then people are out there doing it. It's like they're stealing your art almost.
Because they're going to do it regardless.
But he wants them to do it.
Yeah, it's fine.
He wants them to do it. That's the thing. Anybody who's doing his shit, he supports. And he, even, you know what I mean, like Aoki, you know, like you'd love that guy out there doing your shit. You're supporting
him. Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. I mean, I'm human. I want, you know, if someone learns some shit directly from me or my books or anything, you know, the right thing to do is give credit. You know, that's the right thing to do. And not giving credit is, you did, you know, whoever you learned a technique from, you got to give them credit.
Yeah.
You got to. If you don't, you're a douchebag.
And not only that, it doesn't take away from what you did at all. You know, people think that somehow or another, you teaching a guy, you know, a certain way to set up a rear naked, and then he does it, and then you give him credit, it takes away from him. No, it doesn't take away from
him.
Not at all. It's just the friendly thing to do.
Anytime I pull off a submission that someone else in class showed me, I'll always go over and go, dude, got it twice today. You know what I mean?
Yes. I do the same thing.
Yeah,
I do the same thing. I do the same thing. Yeah. Yeah, that's important, man. It's important. It fosters that friendly attitude, too, you know?
All I'm trying to do, I mean, I guess it feels good. It's like a piece of art and something. I always feel good when a new transition comes up out of nowhere or someone else, or one of my students teaches me or we see it on the internet. I get excited. It's cool. It's like
the
another little piece.
People who don't do it have no idea how complex it is. They really have no idea how many levels and layers there are in jiu-jitsu. Like I was talking to Nathan. We were talking about how he trained with Marcelo. And I went down to New York and trained with him a couple of times. And he was just talking about how good Marcelo moves and how it's really amazing to see someone operate on that level. And we just started thinking about it, like how humbling that is. Like when you're around a guy like Marcelo or a Jacare or something like that. I watched a video of Jacare online rolling through people, just rolling through one dude after another, just submitting them left, right, left, right, left, right. When you see someone who's at that high level, you know, it's like it's so humbling because you realize how many goddamn layers there are to this. And
yeah.
it never ends. It's
yeah.
more complex and more, you know, the guys you compete against are faster and they're diving on shit with more precision and their technique is more crisp and more sharp and more options. And,
dude, there's 12 different ways that I can count. There may be more, 12 different ways to play off your back.
Yeah, nuts.
That's what I can count. 12 distinctly different styles. Like, you know, there's a difference you can tell. To the trained eye, someone could tell he's playing deep half, he's playing X guard, he's playing, you know, lockdown half, he's playing 50-50 guard, he's playing butterfly guard, it's, you know, he's playing
yeah.
rubber guard. There's 12 of them that I could count, there might be more. De La Hiva guard, spiral guard, all that shit. There's so many. It's so complex. I mean, I've been doing jiu-jitsu 16 years, and I suck at most of those guards.
Really?
Like, I'm not that good at... My De La Hiva guard doesn't exist. That's a whole different style. Spiral guard, inverted guard. I never do any of that stuff. I never play 50-50 guard. I never do any of that shit.
It's
have
almost
like four or five
techniques.
Guards. I have like four or five guards, and there's like 12. There's a lot of them that I don't do. There's so much. Like, all these world champions, like... Rafael Mendez and Cobrina and all these guys, their style is totally different than mine. Totally, like if we taught 4-hour seminars each, it'd be two different worlds. You know what I mean? There's so much to learn which path you're going to take. You know, and me, I've been doing, like, again, 16 years, and I'm still putting new weapons into the game. I make sure that there's always new projects that I'm working on.
It never ends.
Always, always, always got to be a new project. And those projects could take 1, 2, 3 years to get them where you need them to be. You know, the DARS is still my project from like, you know, 5 years ago. It's, you know, I'm not as good as the top guys with the DARS. I'm pretty good, but I'm not as good as, I still got some more levels to pop through. But, you know, over the last year and a half, guillotines and north-south, I sucked with those. But they've been on my project list. When I go against the scrubs, when I go against the white belts, new guys, you know, I'm not going to do anything that I'm good at with them. I'm going to only get shit that I suck at and try to train my body. I would get into north-south, and I go, this feels awkward. I don't know how Denny does it. You know. But I would get in there and try to go as far as I can, and I'd lose it. And I go, let's do something else. I'm like, cool, I'll come back to it later. And try it again. I'm like, they're not tapping. I'm not really squeezing right. Trying to move my leg. Okay, focus on the leg. And after a while, bam, you get into it. Woo! And you're like, oh, okay, this is feeling good. And you know, eventually it'll come. And you have to remember that. People forget that. Because a lot of people, when they try something new, they go, well, it feels kind of awkward. Fuck that. I'm going to go back to my shit. I don't know. He's weird. He's got some strange flexibility. You got to remember that all moves feel awkward in the beginning. And if you want this move, it doesn't matter. You can master this move. If you want it, you can be a killer with this move. It's up to you how many reps you're willing to put in. You know, and in jiu-jitsu, you know, the only sport where you can spar 100% every day, everyone just spars. They're like, they put in as few reps as possible. Most people have that mentality back, unless you force them, and that's what I do. I force my guys because I know they're going to get lazy. And if I say, okay, everyone do 15 of this and 20 of that and make sure you do that, and like I write it on a board and let them do it, and I just kick back and, you know, chill, they're not going to do it. You got to have... People, that's why they hire trainers. They could do everything. They know all the exercises. They know they could do it. They just need someone to force them. If you have someone to force you and you're paying them, then it's easier to go through that shit you would never do.
And then you can roll right afterwards and actually get to try it, you know,
yep.
When somebody doesn't know.
For me, I just look at everything. Most things is like long-term projects. Like, how many cycles have you gone through with this technique? And eventually, by third or fourth cycle, once you hit it, bam, look, now he's doing a new roll. Look at him.
Yeah, it's hard to motivate yourself to push yourself. It is definitely important to have someone pushing that. You know?
Rolling is so much more fun than drills. You know, actually, can you imagine getting on a video game and act? Do you ever get on the practice?
No.
You ever like just practice the little movements over and over like 50 times? Like, okay, this. Do people do that?
Yeah, maybe.
Like they get in a like a room where they can just practice moves, and now they're getting really good with all the moves, and they do all the techniques.
Quake players do that.
Oh, do that?
It's like a workout. Yeah.
They can work out.
Well, Quake is based on a map. It's based on map systems. So, like, there's a bunch of different maps you play on. But one of the most important things about playing Quake when you're in a one-on-one duel is to understand the map. You got to know where the guns are hidden. You got to know where the ammo's hidden, and you got to control the map. So what you got to do is you got to make sure you know every minute area, and you can move around. So they practice like special jumps and rocket jumps. They practice jumping into certain areas and like.
So they don't get to a really far and then crumble. So they'll practice that shit.
They practice it so they have complete command of the map, so they can move around the map anywhere they want. And then they practice timing. When
how is Quake now? Is it their new version? Because you were playing that shit 10 years ago.
Yeah, there's new version.
The best version,
though, is Quake 3 to me. Quake 4 is pretty badass, too.
What's the latest?
I think Quake 4 is the latest. It takes years to make them. You know, everyone they did, they came out with a new Doom.
What?
New
every year when they get better and better? I don't know anything about video games. The graphics and the amount of area you can travel to?
Yes.
Always bigger. That's what
they
do. They just get bigger and bigger.
Yeah. They have some games they call them massive, MMORGs or something like that? It's role player games, massive world. It's like an artificial world role player game where you can just travel for miles and meet new people and shit. People live their whole lives inside those things.
They're actually real people. The people that you meet in there, they're real people playing the game.
The real people playing the game.
Yeah, they have rape laws.
People have lost their mind when it comes to these things.
I never even heard of that.
People have
what is this game
their
called?
Baby starve. These two people in Korea let their baby starve while they were nourishing their online baby. They had a fake baby online, and they were taking care of that baby while their real baby starved to death. Like, they lost their marbles. That's crazy. People are living in artificial worlds 8-10 hours a day and addicted to it.
What's it called, this game?
There's a bunch. World of Warcraft. There's the EverQuest. There's what's the other one? The Sims.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one. Something Life. There's what the fuck is it?
Half-Life?
No. That's the cool video game. There's one.
How many people are on?
Second Life? Maybe it's called Second Life or something like that.
Dude, there's 13,210 people.
No.
Look.
No. Look about
1,800. April 13th, 2010.
People are dropping off like crazy. As we're counting the numbers, they're like, what the fuck am I watching? Watching three retards stoned out of their mind trying to talk to a camera.
13,210.
How boring was all this shit?
Is it boring? I don't know, man. This is a 420 episode. If they're all with us, they're all with us.
I passed out on pot yesterday.
Whoa, what
I've been close like two or three times in the last like, month or two. And you're real lightheaded. It's like, oh my God. And then I jumped to the bed. I fainted.
Whoa.
I woke up on the floor with a belt in my head.
How much weed did you smoke, man?
Not that much.
Dude.
Not that much. And it happened to this girlfriend I had once. And it was like, she had like one hit. It wasn't anything major.
She fainted.
She's what? Yeah.
I saw someone do that. We gave that to this chick who was working on Fear Factor. She's one of the production people. We were all in New York. We're outside. We're out there filming there for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Inside a bar, have a drink. You guys want to smoke a joint? Yeah, come on, smoke time. We all smoked. This chick took. I guess she'd never smoked weed. She decided she wanted to join in the fun. She took one big hit of some train wreck, and her eyes rolled back in her head, and she just dropped. I thought she was faking. I thought she was pretending. Like, wow, it's pot. So I'm so I'm gonna pass out. I thought she was being silly. Like, we had to catch her. She was falling down to the ground.
The girlfriend was like that. She was
one
like, just smiled and just goes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what's she doing? I don't understand.
Oh,
and then she didn't even know she was going down.
Did you catch her?
No.
Nope. Did you even make an effort? An effort to catch her?
Well, I was holding popcorn.
So you did.
Soda, so no.
So you let the fucking chick drop so that you didn't have to drop your popcorn.
I probably wasn't going to be able to catch her anyway.
Wow, you didn't even take a chance.
Oh, no, I did not. I didn't understand what was really happening, but it happened to me yesterday.
How long have you been dating this chick?
A few months.
Uh-oh.
So how attached were you to her?
Very.
Right now you're still dating her?
No.
So were you bummed out when she bonked her head off?
When she fell? Yeah, I didn't quite get it until she was fully down. I was like, did she just faint?
Did you feel at all responsible?
Somewhat, yeah. Well, I gave it a pot.
Oh!
We went to see Zombieland.
Did you watch this season of Celebrity Rehab?
No, I did not.
You didn't watch it? You didn't watch it?
I watched one episode.
Okay. Because
so
that was a chick.
Too much for me.
There was, you know, that chick from One Day at a Time?
Yeah.
Mackenzie Phillips.
Ooh.
She's in bed and rooming with this ex-country chick singer.
Yeah.
Who has epileptic seizures.
Nice.
And she went off, like, in the middle of this conversation, she was just telling Mackenzie, like, and then she went, and this is all on film, she goes, she's freaking freezing, and Mackenzie Phillips like, yeah!
What?
Are you playing? Are you playing? It's all on video.
Wow.
Yeah, they kept replaying that mother. You know they replay shit on reality shows? After the commercial, they come back and restart it again.
Oh, my God.
Have you guys seen Shreds? You know
how
what Shreds
are?
Seizures,
man.
What are Shreds?
Shreds is a thing these guys are doing. They're taking music videos
and
redoing the music, like I just saw one from Journey. They redo the music, as lip-syncing totally as perfect as possible, but the worst voices, everything's out of tune, everything's out of key. So you see this, it's like the worst rock band ever. They're really funny, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
It's
a Journey music video.
You want it,
and
that's
it looks like they suck really bad.
Is it on
awesome.
YouTube?
Yeah, it's on something.
What's
it's called Shreds.
All right, let's watch
There's
it.
A bunch of them.
Let's watch it and we'll.
Any way you want it, Journey. It's fun. They did one on Mac Danzig, Danzig, the singer. And he's friends with this guy I know, and he said when he showed it to him, dude, he got really offended.
Really?
Yeah. See, they're doing it to Journey. They're doing it, and Journey's like, you know, they're like amazing musicians and singers.
Okay, I looked up Shreds Journey. Shreds what?
Shreds Journey, that's it.
EAD?
Any way you want it.
EAD or ED?
I think it, no, that's with an E. It's with
E-D.
An E. No,
okay.
That's right. That
Shred Journey. Is this it? Junkie Shreds?
That's it. That's it. The top one. That's it.
Can you make it to the audience? Watch this.
It's Junkie Shreds.
No. You guys are going to have to look up Junkie Shreds.
I'm big.
Oh.
I'm big.
Jerk.
I'm
big. It's not Junkie. Jerk Knee.
Jerk Knee Shreds.
Jerk Knee
that's
Shreds.
That's just another commercial.
Journey. More like Journey. Oh, Journey.
I was going to get pulled
Jesus.
Down.
How dumb am I?
I didn't get it either. Jerk Knee. Jerk all right,
here it
knee.
Goes. Let's see what this is.
That's the way you need it, any way you want it. She loves to laugh, she loves to sing, she loves everything. She loves to move, she loves to groove, she loves to love the thing.
It's genius.
Oh, that's very funny. That's good shit, man. I just, you guys can watch it. I just sent it to Twitter.
The solo, dude, the solo is so bad.
It's like, we're going to
be annoying. It's just so cool that you can do that so easy. I mean, it's so easy to do stuff like that now, to edit video and put it online. Like, it used to be hard to do, man.
You can actually listen to the song on earphones, record here, so you can sing it right along with them as they're doing it.
Yeah. What you can do now, man, it's incredible.
A lot of people have already seen it. They go look up Van Halen or different. That was some funny shit.
Yeah,
that was funny. I'll try to read some of these. We might be too high to be doing this. Should be.
I'm starving.
I'm gonna be again.
This should be illegal. Ari, bad bladder. That was loud. Yeah, sorry about that, man. We probably didn't do that the best way.
Kids shreds. Oh, no.
I heard you were publishing a scientific paper in neuroscience. That's hilarious. If that was true, I would be Carlos Mencia-ing it. Some dude wrote some shit in Arabic. Arabic does look cool, doesn't it? Look how cool that shit looks.
What?
Arabic?
Yeah, that's probably the coolest looking writing on the planet. Probably cooler than Chinese or Japanese.
Yeah, look at that shit. It looks like something elegant to it, you know? It's like cool to see it on your wall. You know, it looks like art. So, this chick wants to fuck you, dude. This Slurpella, she's back.
Oh, shit.
She says, you're
explain,
hot.
Explain the name Slurpella. Where'd you get that from? Who gave it to you? Did you dub yourself
1,600 people in here, man. There's no way you're ever going to have to keep an eye on it to catch her response.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get Dave Chappelle on here sometime? I would love to hang out with Dave Chappelle, but I don't know him that well. I only did a show a couple times, and one time was just because I was walking down the street and I ran into him. Another time was the Fear Factor one. The one we ran into him was hilarious. Remember that? You were with me.
No.
We were in New York. We were just walking down the street, and I'm like, that looks like Dave Chappelle with a mustache on. And he's like, hey, Joe, you want to be in my show? It was like, okay. And it was out of nowhere. No, his show hadn't even aired
Times Square, just walking down the street. Ran
that
into
was, that was when the Dave Chappelle show, you know, like nobody had any idea it was even coming out. And then when it came out, like right away,
well, that
it was like
sketch.
The best show ever.
Yeah.
Like the Bigsby.
Yeah.
First sketch. I'm sure he was like, no, let's lead with that one.
Knocked it out of the park. That was the best show ever.
Was that the first sketch ever?
I think so.
I don't know. I know that's the first sketch. I know it's the first sketch. On the top 25.
Because I think when he said it, I think I remember it going like, he goes, my friend said I shouldn't do this sketch, but it almost seemed like he had introduced a few other sketches already, but this is the first
maybe
one.
Maybe the audience knows the answer to this.
That's a good question.
This is like intelligence. The audience here, we could find out anything.
Yeah. How about that? How about when we couldn't remember that dude's name earlier, Dennis Hopper? Bam.
Hopper.
It just popped up. Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah, I mean, there's 1,666. 1666. We're evil. We're officially evil. Dude. Got a lot of viewers. See, there's some dudes writing some other shit. And then he wrote Shiny Happy Jihad. Listen, man. Don't be mixing my shit up with that shit, because I don't know what you're saying. Did you hear about that chick in Nevada that got sent to life in prison because she talked a 14-year-old boy, she wanted to try to get him to have sex with her, and she grabbed his hand and put it on her tit and tried to get him to fuck her.
And
the man,
really life
she got life in prison. That is the mandatory sentence for that.
Life in prison is a mandatory sentence?
Uh-huh. She's 14, the kid's 14 years old, and she's like 34 or some shit, and she grabbed the kid's hand and put it on her tit, and she said she was drunk, and she doesn't remember any of it, and this bitch is going to life in jail. Yeah, that's possible.
So what? She doesn't remember it. She did it.
All she did was put his
hand.
Okay,
well, she did.
You know, obviously the bitch is crazy and she needs to do like a night in jail or maybe a week at the most. You know, like
I
just
think sometimes
shock
I, you
her
think
and
about
say, hey,
what it would be like to spend 1 month in prison. That would fucking destroy a lot of your life.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, he needs to get at least 10 years. Like, think about what a month in prison would be like.
Yeah,
God, that would be horrifying.
Terrible. Terrible. And for just getting a boy to touch your tit, I mean, yeah, you shouldn't have done it, but come on. You're supposed to, like, slap her on the wrist and tell her to get out of there.
That's a
mandatory. So she's not even eligible for parole for 10 years. She has to go 10 years before she's even eligible for
parole. I'd like to know the details of that case.
Yeah,
there's got to be some
shit
seems
in there.
Seems
like stuff is not quite
she might
out.
Be
she's done
have a history
before.
Yeah.
Maybe look at you guys. You're fucking supporting that. How dare you?
I don't know, but it seems an unbelievable
story.
I can't. It's hard to believe that people are that stupid.
Oh,
I would give someone life for that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's an interesting story.
Yeah, remember when your friends in class got thrown out and, like, what'd you do? Like, nothing. I just moved my chair. And teacher went crazy. It's like, no, you didn't. You were moving it over and over. I should have told you to stop.
That's all well and good, but that was the charges. What the charges were,
there must
what
have been something
convicted of is lewdness on a minor or some shit like that. And
maybe she's been sucking kids' dicks since she was 8.
probably wasn't the first time
crazy
she did
the speed freak who just sucks dick on the little kid's dick and just doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Well, if she did it to this kid, she's probably done it to other ones. It's not like she's been fucking grown men. She just said, let me just take... You all right? Beat your tongue?
Yeah.
Move on, 12-year-olds.
It's not like, you know, like all of a sudden out of nowhere she says, let me just dive on this 14-year-old dick. She's done it before. She's just not particular about who she blows. You know, that's all that is. She's just a crazy bitch. But she shouldn't have to go to jail for the rest of her fucking life, man. That's nuts. You know, they're trying to put kids in jail for sexting.
Yeah.
They're trying to make sexting illegal.
For kids?
Girls are showing pictures
child
of
porn.
Pussy. They're saying it's child porn.
You're 15, take a picture of pussy, you're a child pornographer.
Isn't that nuts?
I mean, of course, right?
Yeah.
Dude,
but are they kids doing it to each other? And
yeah.
That's child porn?
It's sending it to their boyfriends.
Want to hear a crazy story? A bunch of girls got suspended. I think it was like 9 girls got suspended from this one school because they had a bunch of pictures that they took and put on their MySpace page in between school, when they're not at school, like during their summer break. So when they came back to school, they were suspended because of sexy pictures of their MySpace page. They're like sucking fingers, sticking their ass out in their underwear and stuff, and they're only like 14. You know, they're just doing normal horror shit. And they got suspended, so the girls are suing the school. They're going to win. I mean, if you can go on MySpace, you can't tell someone they can't do something during their off time because you don't like it. You're just because you're teaching them. You know, when did these fucking retards that
people
are teaching our students...
It at school.
What's that?
People accessing it at school.
Well, you could access it at school if you had access to MySpace at school. I don't know what kind of internet access they have at school.
Phones.
Yeah, but either way, the kids should be able to put whatever, you know, she wants to be a whore, she's going to be a whore. You can't legislate against that.
Yeah.
And you certainly can't punish them for shit
that's
they're doing
legal,
when they're not
school. Legal to do.
Yeah. You're acting like you're their fucking mom.
Yeah.
Like, you're saying you don't want them in school because what they're gonna it's going to give other people a bad impression of your school. Is that what it is? Because she's in her underwear online? Like, shut the fuck up. So it's one of these dummies that are teaching our kids today. And that's the problem. There's a bunch of them who are fucking dummies. You know, when did they become the parents? When did they become the moral arbitrators? When did they become the people who dictate, you know, how people are supposed to behave? You know, if you don't have a problem with your kid sticking her ass out, up in the air in MySpace, and you're the teacher, you should be like, whatever, I'm going to teach you some science, and you get through life and enjoy yourself. But what the fuck, the teacher's supposed to step in and say, you shouldn't be in your underwear when you're not at school? Like, fuck you. Who are you? You just teach. Just teach me. You don't get to fucking shut my life down because you don't like me in my underwear. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
See, no, I said that. I said it in first person. Like I was a 14-year-old girl. Like it was a secret fantasy. You didn't even notice that.
How old are they? 14?
They're like 14. 14, 15 years old.
That's wrong.
It's wrong.
Except
we're under
17.
Look, man, you can't stop chicks from doing horror shit. They arrested a 15-year-old girl for child pornography because she sent a dude in her class a picture of her pussy. So they arrested her. They eventually charged her with use of criminal tools. And the criminal tool was a cell phone.
Wow.
So they charged her. How nutty is that?
That's incredible.
That's all that like that
what
was
that,
case.
Alabama?
I don't know. I know
Brian's
tiny little facts. Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brian's fucked. Hi everyone, I love you. I'm also on Viking. Aw, that's so sweet. Poor Brian, wanna hear how dumb Brian is? Brian bit into a spoon. He was eating some yogurt and bit down. First of all, son, you're not supposed to bite that goddamn hard on yogurt. You know? How hungry was he? He bit down into his metal spoon.
You're supposed to slurp it, dude.
Yeah, what are you doing biting it?
I don't eat yogurt.
Only plastic spoons from now on for you. So he bit down on a spoon and broke his tooth. That's why he's not here. This guy said he's going to put me in a triangle choke. How dare you?
Are you scared?
I don't
scale
like,
1 to 10.
I don't like being caught in triangles. That's uncomfortable.
I'm scared for you.
I'm scared that you're scared. Now you really got me scared. Oh, he said he was stoned eating yogurt. He was eating yogurt thinking about yummy dicks. He just got all excited and clamped down. I think we talked about all the things I wanted to talk about. I talked about the lady in Nevada. We talked about Strike Force and Mayhem. Any other comments? Eddie? Oh, Mike Whitehead got busted for weed and sexual assault. That sucks.
That's not good for the movement, Mike. Damn.
Yeah, that sucks.
Was he drunk too?
I hope it's all bullshit.
I hope he was drunk.
Who's Jack Herrera?
Jack Herrera
Didn't he die a year ago?
No, he had a massive heart attack a year ago, and he's basically
Chong said he just died.
I thought he was dead the whole time.
I didn't know he was a person.
They thought he was dead. There was a bunch of people sent, like, I think even Doug Benson sent out an RIP. A lot of people were saying he was dead. And so there was a rumor going around, but it wasn't he was dead, but he was basically, like, barely alive. He was basically non-responsive. Well, I don't know the scientific, the medical details, but I know that he was in really, really bad shape from the time of that till now.
So who was it?
So he wasn't dead.
He was this really powerful marijuana activist that started out his life as like this Goldwater Republican type guy who was like really anti-weed, and then he got divorced and smoking pot with this woman that he had just met, this new woman. He, you know, he took a chance when he was a single guy and, you know, hanging out with some chick and really kind of was blown away by it, and then, you know, fell in love with the effects of marijuana, and then started looking into the history, and then he put out this really fucking amazing book called The Emperor Wears No Clothes, and it's all about this marijuana.
He wrote it in jail.
Yeah.
Putting him in jail. The reason he went to jail is because he, before he wrote the book, he was already like a marijuana activist for certain things. There's so many ways you can fight for marijuana, but
yeah.
I forget exactly what he was fighting for in the very beginning. He was protesting in front of a federal building. Reagan showed up. Reagan told the people at the federal building to have it handled. He had the cops come arrest everybody. All they had to do was pay like some $20 ticket or something. Mm-hmm. He refused to pay it, and he went to jail for a year and two. Yeah, he went to jail for it. He was hardcore. He wrote, that's where it was good for him. That's where he had the time to write The Emperor Wears No Clothes. He wrote it in jail.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a good book, too. It's really very detailed. If you want to know anything about the history of propaganda and of hemp being made illegal, everybody thinks the reason why marijuana is illegal is because it's bad for you. I mean, if you ask like 100 people, 75 of them are going to tell you it's bad for you. It's something. It does brain damage. Causes some problems. But that's not why it's illegal. It's illegal because when they figured out a way to process hemp fibers more effectively, they came up with this thing called a decorticator. There's a machine that grinds up the hemp and makes the fibers easier to process. William Randolph Hearst owned paper companies, and he also owned newspapers. And these paper companies, you know, they make paper out of fucking wood, and this hemp paper was much better. It was far superior, and it was a competing product. So he wanted to make it illegal. So what he decided to do was print newspaper articles where they said that blacks and Mexicans were raping white women.
What is this?
And the reason why they said the reason why they were raping white women is because they were smoking this new drug called marijuana. So when Congress made marijuana illegal, they didn't even know they were making the textile, you know, the fabric, the, you know, all the things that hemp can make. They didn't really even know they were making that illegal too. They had no idea. It's really completely ridiculous. The fact that it's stuck from the 1930s all the way to here 2010, even though we know it's ridiculous. I mean, you can go right now, we can go down to the corner store and buy Jack Daniels and drink ourselves to death. Easy. If we walked in there right now, we each bought a big-ass bottle, like a gallon jug of Jack Daniels, all three of us in line, no one would bat an eye. That's lethal doses. We just bought lethal doses of alcohol. And we could just come here and the three of us would drink that Jack Daniels until our body literally shut the fuck down.
That sounds cool.
I mean, how crazy is it that people would even bat an eye that marijuana should or shouldn't be illegal? Of course it should be legal. If you can go and buy Jack Daniels, that's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Man, I'm fucking hungry.
Yeah. You want to end this thing?
Sounds good. 518?
It's 518.
I think we did enough.
Talking about Silva? I think we've already talked about Silva enough. You know?
I think they're bored enough.
Anderson Silva saying he's going to take all the UFC belts. You know what? Maybe Anderson Silva is bored at 185 pounds. Maybe that's the reason why his last performance wasn't up to par. You know, who the fuck knows, man? You don't know until you're inside that dude's head. You know, he's obviously brilliant, you know, in his fighting, and he's probably a very complicated dude, you know. But I think I would like to see him challenged. That Chael Sonnen fight is going to be very interesting, man. Chael Sonnen's going to talk a lot of shit, and he's going to attack him.
And they're fighting, they're doing it?
Yeah.
What?
August.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be in Salt Lake City.
Why doesn't like Chael Sonnen all of a sudden?
Well, Chael Sonnen's a real good wrestler, man. He beat the fuck... Well, he beat Yushin Okami, which was really impressive, because Yushin at the time was thought to be like this real powerful grappler. Chael Sonnen just manhandled him, out-grappled the shit out of him, kicked his ass. Then he beat Nate Marquardt, And that was like, whoa, like that really opened a lot of people's eyes.
And so now he gets his fight?
He took
for a wrestler, he's really explosive with double leg takedowns, and you don't see that often.
You
see a lot of Greco guys, with guys flying for your leg. He's like GSP with wrestling at 85.
That was fighting for the win streak or anything? It's two.
No. So he fought Damian Maia before that, and he got triangled. He got taken down. I think he hit him with like a lateral drop or some sort of a throw. It was really impressive. And Damian mounted him and then slapped a triangle in from the mountain and pulled him on top of him and tapped him with the triangle.
So he had two wins since then.
Really sweet. Yeah. He's had two wins since then. But, you know, the Damian Maia thing, look, you know, if that guy catches you, he catches you.
Yeah.
He's really good at that. And Chael Sonnen's been caught with stuff in the past. That would be an interesting thing if Anderson could submit him off of his back. That would be fantastic. Because, you know, Chael Sonnen, at some point in time, if Anderson doesn't knock him out immediately, Chael Sonnen's going to have Anderson on his back. You know? Unless he catches him while he's coming in.
Yeah.
Which is always possible with Anderson.
He's so great at sprawling.
I have a feeling that
this time
Chael's going to take submission defense in the guard and passing the guard a little more seriously. I have a feeling.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to come out because he gets caught in the guard because he likes to pound in the guard. And when you pound in the guard, you can get caught. You know, look at Karan Darabedian. He got caught. You know, and he's awesome. He's awesome at jiu-jitsu. But once Chael finally realizes that he needs to get really good at passing and mounting and taking the back, fuck.
Yeah.
Once he realizes that he needs to adapt the GSP strategy, once he looks at GSP at few fights and says, holy shit, I should be doing what GSP's doing. Once he makes that decision, Chael will be unstoppable.
That dude's got serious cardio, too.
The reason why he does great, but then, you know, he loses. He does great, then he loses. It's because he is not taking guard passing and being safe in the guard. And taking guard passing as the number one priority over ground and pound in the full guard. You only should really pound in the full guard to open shit up. But passing should be your number one focus. Look at GSP. Passing is his number one focus. That is the correct attitude.
Well, that's an important point. What did you think about what Greg Jackson said about GSP? Greg Jackson said in the fight that he didn't want GSP to pass his guard anymore. When he took Dan Hardy down, he said, just don't pass his guard this round.
I don't agree with it ever.
Saying he couldn't pass his guard, that he wasn't passing it, and he was like, I guess he thought he was wasting energy, and just wanted his
Couture's not doing that.
Beat him up from inside the guard.
You know, the thing...
Don't you guys always say that Couture is good from the half guard?
Couture beats guys up.
So it's just like, you know,
you can get swept from the half guard. I don't agree with that strategy at all, ever. I would never agree with it, but I can understand it in a way where I could see that after GSP passed his guard and mounted him, Dan Hardy would give his back, then he would post up, and then eventually he would shake him up, and they would stand up again. That every time, so Greg Jackson was looking at it, it was like, if he passes the guard, he's going to mount, then they're going to eventually stand up after he gets his back, and the tripod's up, and he gets up. So I think
just do it.
Greg Jackson, just like stay in his guard, he can't get up from there, he can't get up from the guard, he can't get up once he gets his back, you know, so just stay in the guard, let's get the W, don't take a fucking chance with this guy. That's like the super conservative strategy, which I understand, but I think GSP was doing fine, and I think he should always go for the finish and always go for the pass. And, you know,
he almost had him twice. He almost had him.
Oh, Gogo was so
good. Yeah. You don't want your fighter to get bored.
That's pretty much done.
You know,
and John Donaher, and they were working on it afterwards. They were working on tightening what he was doing wrong with setting up his Kimura, telling him to hit it at a different angle. I don't know. I don't remember how he did it. Did he have the leg over the face?
Was it looks pretty damn good. I don't know why
he did that. Was he in side control or did he have the leg over the face?
I don't remember. It was side control, but I don't remember.
It looked pretty strong. The Kimura looked strong. The armbar looked strong for a couple seconds, man. The armbar was bent way back for a couple seconds. And Dan Hardy just gritted it out, rolled his face into the mat, turned himself over.
And Dan only had two scratches on his under his right eye, and he wasn't hurt. His arms were fine.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's amazing that he went five rounds of GSP, and he barely had a couple nicks on him.
Yeah, well, that's how badass he is, man. You know, Hardy's a tough dude. He's such a smart guy, too. He's so good at shit-talking. So good at those interviews, man. It's such a tricky thing because in one way that's, like, kind of, like, anti, like, what the martial arts is supposed to stand for, talking shit, you know. But when dudes do talk shit, they make it so much more interesting.
Yeah, I think they talk shit back in ancient times, like samurais against the kung fu dudes and all that shit. I think they talk shit. Yeah. I can see them talking shit.
It's a tactic. It fucks with people's heads. If you talk shit, it's a terrible.
Okay, I'm gonna make you suck my dick. Is that it?
I'm gonna make you suck my dick.
Okay, that was it. Fake sound. Yeah, man. It is a tactic, you know. Fucking with dudes' heads, it is like a legitimate technique.
The problem is that everyone thinks they're doing so well, and it like rarely actually throws people off their games.
Yeah,
it just
and
seems
it
like,
make
that was witty.
Douchey sometimes too.
Yeah.
It makes it douchey. The two guys are just talking shit to each other, and you know sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, but when guys are good at it.
Like Muhammad Ali, but it wasn't like personal shit.
Imagine a guy
like,
going out in an interview going, I'm going to be honest with you. I really don't think I'll win, but I'm going to go out there and give it my all. That's all I can do. What else do you want me to do?
Wouldn't it be awesome if someone went out in the interview and said, here's the deal, man. I don't really have a lot of job options. I need some money. And, you know, and it's not a lot of money, but fuck it. I need to fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, seems
that's
exciting.
It's going to be
I saw it on TV a couple times, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to be able to make some cash with that.
My favorite was Anderson one of the times. When they, you know, they go back and forth, they just tell you what that guy said, and then you say something, and then they go back to the first guy and say, well, he said this.
Right.
It's like fucking drama school.
Right.
But so they said, you know, Anderson, that guy said he's going to, you know, get you down, mount you, you know, pound you to submission. And his response like, that's a great tactic. Yes, you'll win if that happens. Like,
Yeah, that's a smart way. That's a smart way of telling it. Yeah, Anderson is pretty good when it comes to chit talking, how casual and calm he gets. But apparently, he gets very angry. I mean, when you saw that Chael Sonnen fight, man, or the Damian Maia fight, he gets real angry. You know, Damian Maia, whatever the fuck Damian Maia said, really made him bananas in that second round. I don't know what the fuck was said or what, but have you ever seen him like that before? Ever? Just screaming shit talking like that?
Yeah, never. What would happen if Damian Maia, when he butt scoops and Anderson Silva standing, what if Damian Maia started doing some fucking windmill breakdance and stuff and coming after him? Right? You know? And then would stop.
What if he just started dancing?
Can you imagine some breakdancing?
It would be crazy if, like, right in the middle, he just started breakdancing.
You know that thing where it's like it's like they go
dress it.
They spin.
That would be awesome. George St. Pierre could do that. George St. Pierre could break dance.
Yes.
Do you remember he used to do that a little bit in some of his earlier fights?
What if you got really good and you attacked someone like that? Like you just fucking spun at him like that with like a big propeller.
That's a lot of energy.
Can you imagine? That's a fucking break. That would be badass, man. I bet the break dancers would start making some noise.
It was the sickest fucking baseball card like this and it would fucking switch positions and make him break dance.
A break dance card?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
What if capoeira got together with breakdancing and they created a new martial art? They said, let's do something.
Trying
to catch you on a spin like a top. Trying to get in there. There's just a tsunami of ankles and knuckles. Things are spinning around. You can't just dive in there. You're going to get fucking bumped.
You could do some capoeira shit and go right to the head spin. When you spin on your head.
Oh, yeah.
Right to capoeira.
And then slide your legs out. Fucking.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be a great way to pass the guard.
I think we're done.
Yeah, that's probably a good.
Are you guys bored yet?
Ladies and gentlemen,
we're talking about
Aoki. Yeah, let's talk about that real quick, because you're here. What did you think about the Shinya Aoki Gilbert Melendez fight?
I didn't let him butt scoot.
Very interesting fight.
Gilbert Melendez is awesome in the guard, and he did a great job at staying away from any danger. I think maybe once or twice. Aoki had him in mission control and he smashed him against the cage. Melendez is a bad motherfucker.
Yeah,
you know
he's
right?
Very good. Gilbert has awesome timing. His stand-up was wicked. He stayed on top of him. You know, I mean, the only way that strategy was going to work for him, you know, avoiding the guard, was if he could beat him in the stand-up exchanges.
Yeah.
You know, and he definitely did.
He beat
him in all the stand-up
exchanges.
He took
him out hard. He lifted him up.
Yeah. He beat his ass, you know. That really
Aoki
put him on the map.
Aoki had that wrist. Once in the first round, that was good.
Yeah,
was the
man. He got the arm trapped a couple times, but Gilbert just pulled right the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
And it was never in any danger at all. So that was a big fight for him. Aoki's just not as good with the fucking with regular shorts.
So is Jay Shields' contract done with Strikeforce?
Supposedly, yeah, which is amazing. If they really let him fight without a contract saying that if he wins, that he's still in contract.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how that stuff works. I didn't know you could do that. I guess you can. You know, if you're not willing to sign a new contract, I guess they just have to deal with what you got.
Champion, do whatever you want.
Yeah. And so, I think he felt like I think Jake Shields was upset because he felt like they were not respecting him.
They bumped Pete Lewis, so let's not get
yeah,
another.
They didn't promote him enough. They mostly most of the promotion that they had was mentioning Dan Henderson and not him.
Yeah.
Because he was on his last fight.
Yeah.
And they were bringing Dan in.
Yeah, and yeah. They wanted it to be a big deal. I mean, Dan's a legend, 2-time Pride champion, you know, in 2 different weight classes. So that was a big deal for them, a big acquisition. They thought he was going to be their big star. So they were hoping that Jake Shields would lose, I guess.
Yeah, give him the belt right away. Give him
yeah,
the belt
yeah.
And send the other guy off. It's like you don't already sign.
Yeah, I mean, his first fight.
First
fight in the organization is a title fight, you know, on CBS. And crazy-ass fucking fight, too. Man. Who would have ever thought that Jake Shields would be able to take Dan Henderson down that many times?
Just order pizza and watch it.
I gotta go.
All right. Then that's it, ladies and gentlemen. This was the first annual 420 podcast. I think we got some good shit we talked about in there.
Yeah.
Was, pretty good.
I don't think we lost the train of conversation too much.
You got the potato chips
yeah.
next year. Make it happen.
Considering the fact that we got completely vaporized.